Welcome to the Vindicator, election night 2018. The action's been going all day. We have power on, power off.
Smiling?
We are smiling here in Vindicator headquarters, election night live. I'm Todd Franco, editor of the Vindicator, joined my left by Louis Free, brain food from the heartland, one of the smartest guys sitting in the middle of the table right now. And at the end of the table,
Hello, Todd.
Bertram D'Souza, editorial page editor, columnist extraordinaire.
Hi, Bert.
And the guru of all things Vindy elections. Gentlemen, we are here. 2018 general election. Bertram, what do you
think? This is the beginning, isn't it, Todd?
The beginning
Todd,
of what?
Beginning Todd of Franco Productions presents. So, you see, this is a wonderful time for us. We have now emerged like the cocoon from a newspaper. Into butterflies.
You're saying this is my emergence. You've been the happiest guy for 14 days about this topic. You actually yelled
at me. Don't call me happy.
It's an insult.
People will get the wrong idea.
People are going to be stunned when they turn
this is, and this is an important day because as long as I've been here covering elections for more than three decades, this is a new era for us, going live on election night, bringing in guests. Guests will be calling in. And no, I give you credit, Todd, for arranging this and putting this together. I think it's, you know, it's a recognition that when at one time newspapers were the papers of record for elections and where people went to and would line up election night on the next morning to pick up papers, unfortunately, that's no longer true.
Did you ever in your day think that a video part of elections would be one of your key points?
No, I never did. But I was fortunate when I lost my eye, I have to wear a patch because that sort of adds a little sort of flavor to
energy.
It really does. It adds to the whole mystique of
the mystique.
Kind of fitting for us to be live on this election night special on Vindy.com. It's an exciting midterm year. But I mean, I'm third in line as far as politics excitement between the three of us. I mean, you guys said, but this is almost the Super Bowl of midterms.
This is very much so, and I think, and that's the reason I think it's important that we are doing what we're doing, because if you recall in 2008 when Barack Obama won the presidency, the first African American president, immediately thereafter he took on healthcare because it was his intellectual thinking that healthcare was such a major important part of the economy that you had to deal with it. Unfortunately, what happened, it became so controversial that in 2010, the Republicans, pointing to the first black president, said, see, he wants to turn healthcare into a socialist program.
Yeah.
And the Republicans ran with that very successfully, and we know what the outcome was. They swept. They swept everything. Because there was that pushback. Now, think back, 2016, Donald Trump, who is not a Republican, first of all, wins the Republican nomination, changes the party so that people like George Will and David Brooks from the New York Times, George Will, you know, the dean of conservative columnists, have bolted and basically said this is not the party we've been part of. And so here you have, you know, Donald Trump has taken over the party, then came in, and swiped a lot of Democratic issues in the general election and did very well in areas, blue-collar areas like the Mahoning Valley.
Yeah.
And so guess what? Then he takes on health care. And now, 2 years later, the Democrats have now portrayed health care as a major issue and have said, and the argument they've made is a very compelling argument, which is if Donald Trump and the Republicans have their way, they're going to take health care, get rid of Obamacare. And what that means is people with pre-existing conditions will be at the mercy of insurance companies. And you and I both know that insurance companies are not going to cover people with catastrophic illnesses. And that became, again, an issue in this election. So this midterm, you know, the parallels are really wonderful. And I think you're going to see, as the night progresses, that the Democrats will be doing to the Republicans what the Republicans did to the Democrats in 2010.
2 years. From your morning show, how have you seen the build up to this night?
Just tremendous. Just tremendous. Tremendous activity. I wonder if the young people are going to come out and vote as predicted. I don't know. There's a lot of energy, But there's been energy before, maybe not quite like this because of social media, but I think that could be a huge factor.
In Ohio, the issue one is bringing out the young people, yeah. And that's the constitutional amendment that would change the sentencing law for some drug possessions. And that affects a lot of people, urban voters, black voters especially, who recognize that under the current sentencing guidelines, if you're a black inner city kid with crack cocaine, you get thrown in jail. If you're a white, you know, suburban kid with powdered cocaine, you get sent to Florida for rehab. And that disparity,
well,
I
where
think...
Where did you get sent?
Vindicator. Yes, 39 years is my sentence.
Bertrand, the way I used to describe that on the show is, so if I've got flour and sugar and things in the car, that's okay. Yeah. But if I have a cake, if I baked it into a cake, I'm in big trouble. You know, the crack cocaine, powdered
yeah,
cocaine.
Yeah, and then that's the
but
problem.
There was outrage that people wanted, because crack cocaine was sucking right. the lifeblood out of right. these, including this one.
Sure. But yet, you know, this disparity was what... And then I think the whole issue one, and the Vindicator, like other newspapers, did not endorse it and urged voters to vote against it, not because we don't recognize the importance of the issue, but because we believe that issue should not be a constitutional amendment. Because I believe, and his coterie might be in trouble because of this thing, because, you know, he endorsed issue one. And all other Democrats didn't, statewide Democratic candidates. The problem is, the question is, if there are problems that are found, if it passes, and they're then found there are problems with it, can you amend those problems, can you fix those problems statutorily, or do you have to go back for a constitutional amendment? And I think that's the big issue.
Yeah, I know that's my concern also, that it becomes right. a constitutional amendment.
And one of our guests,
what do you do?
A couple of guests, but one of the guests who's been a leader against issue one is Judge Durkin, and he hopefully will be joining
us later.
In the not-too-distant future.
So how are nights going to work tonight? We have a smattering of things going on. Me, Louie,
great
and Bertram.
Great word, smattering.
Smattering.
I love it. It's
so
a great word.
Me, Louie, and Bertram are going to try and host you all night. We're here live till 11 o'clock. We have six reporters scattered around Mahoning County. We're out at Avalon downtown. We're out at GOP headquarters. We're at a couple different places. We're having some folks calling in. We've got folks out at Miami University. We have folks down in Columbus. We have a political champ from a couple cycles ago waiting for us in Marblehead, Ohio. And we're just going to have a great collection of folks. We'll have a couple guests coming in. We expect to see Senator Schiavone. We expect to see Judge Durkin and Judge Baldwin. So the night from now, there's no map. There's kind of just a lot of notes and targets. From now until 11 o'clock tonight, we're going to try and give you the best we can in insight into what's going on in the county, how the results are coming in. I've got a computer screen going here. Louie's looking at it as well. Bertram's got his.
Right.
Trusty 2002 White Apple firing away. And we'll give you results as they come in.
How did you get your updated one? Oh, I know how.
I'm friends with Kyle.
I know how. You had a Vindicator thing, and you got it all wet and burned it up, and then you got a new one given to you. Isn't that how this works?
Fake news.
You know, I don't even have one, you guys, so you guys are arguing whose is newer.
President Trump's concerned about the fake news that goes out. I happen to be great friends with Kyle, and Kyle knows where all the magic happens. Kyle knew that
fake news.
He wanted his magic to happen behind us, which, by the way, behind the scenes tonight is Kyle. He's a magician running the different cameras.
Wonderful young man.
Kind of young.
Young. How old are you?
Well, younger than you, but
everybody's younger than me.
Tell our viewers who we're talking about here.
Kyle, the man. Well, there's no camera on Kyle, so we can't really.
You can introduce him. You can tell him who he is.
He's our IT.
Yes.
Social media, interactive, digital, extraordinaire.
Wizard.
So there's four of us tonight, joined again by five staffers out in the field. Dave Skolnick's out there, Jordan Kozleski, Greg Graziosi, Justin Dennis, Ed Runyon. Six.
Huh.
I forgot six.
Ed
Runyon.
In Trumbull County, right?
Is out in Trumbull County. So they'll be joining us live on Skype at several points. We're thinking that we're going to see a lot of them after between 8:30 and 9:30. We expect a lot of live Skyping calls coming in, and that's how our plan's going to go. And with that, Bertram, what got us here? It's you got issue one, you got a tight governor's race, You got an one of our first calls. It might be Dave Yost in the Embattled
right.
AG's race. Of all the races that have come down this year and all the endorsements that you had to sit through and help make lead the company decision on, tell me about where you're most interested in seeing tonight.
The most interesting, for obvious reasons, is the governor's race because the Republicans have held the governor's office for the last 24 or 28 years. So that's been a long time. Now, I'm not suggesting that Republican governors have been bad for our area. You know, we've had good relationships with the late Governor Voinovich. Mm-hmm. We had a good relationship with Bob Taft, and we've had a good relationship with John Kasich. The issue becomes one of what happens after the 2020 census, where redistricting is going to be happening, and where you know the state legislature and the governor will play a big role. I think that's one of the biggest issues. And the other issue for us, and I know this is, you know, going to perhaps offend some of our viewers. the reason we did not endorse Mike DeWine, whom I've known for more than three decades, is the fact that we believe, the Vindicator does, and I personally believe, that Mike DeWine dropped the ball on the Oak Hill Renaissance investigation, where the state prosecutors and investigators in that Oak Hill Renaissance racketeering scandal identified the individual, the mastermind of this whole racketeering thing, as Anthony M. Caffaro Sr., a very prominent, very rich, very well-known businessman, the former president of the Caffaro Company, now retired. And out of that whole sort of case, there were just three, you know, convictions, you know, Mayor McNally and the problem being that DeWine did not go after Caffaro, and so we sort of felt that was unacceptable.
Do you mind, when you spoke with him about that?
Yes.
Do you mind, for people that didn't watch or didn't hear, do you mind?
Yeah.
What was the explanation?
In the primary, he came in the primary, but he was running against Mary Taylor, and Mike Shortino was also the former county auditor. He came in, and we went through the editorial process, and then I asked him the question. I said, why did you give Anthony Caffaro a pass? And he argued that his office didn't think there was enough evidence there to charge and to convict. And I said, but in the indictments, you people have identified Mr. Caffaro as the mastermind. How do you do that and then come back and say, oh, well, you know, there's not enough evidence? And he didn't want to go through the whole thing, and he just told me, he says, you know, he told the editorial board, he says, you know, we did what the best we could, and, you know, we went after government corruption. And then I had a brief private meeting with him in which it was off the record, but he basically, his argument was, if he could have, he would have gone after Caffaro, and he just didn't have the evidence.
You don't believe him?
No. And so he came in for the general election endorsement meeting, and we were live on Vindy.com, and it's still
there.
Posted, and you can see it. And I asked him about it, and once again he used that same line that they didn't believe that they had enough evidence, and unfortunately that just doesn't parallel what we believe and what I've heard. At this late stage, you know, let's not play games. Mr. Caffaro is a very, very prominent man. He's very influential politically. He gives a lot of money to a lot of politicians. And, you know, whether or not that influenced Mike DeWine's decision, I don't know, because I don't have any proof of that. But if it walks like a duck and acts like a duck, then it's you don't charge.
Possibly a duck. Maybe not.
when you had that conversation with Mike, how'd that go?
It wasn't pleasant because, I've known him a long time. And I was hoping. And what sort of got me riled particularly is when he had a press conference in Cuyahoga County, if I remember, in Cleveland, with the special prosecutor, in which he talked about these indictments against all of these people, and he talked about the Oak Hill. We don't identify who writes editorials because they reflect the voice of the newspaper, but I sort of had this glowing editorial from Mike DeWine about how wonderful this was, how government public corruption in the Mahoning Valley has got to end, and finally we have an attorney general who's ready to take on the most powerful among us. And, so that sort of, it's still sort of great when I think about it.
If I can ask you to get the headsets on.
Sure.
Let's go to one of our first phone callers. And let's see if we can hear Chris. We can be joined any minute now by one of the Democratic Party heavyweights from an election cycle or two ago, Chris Redfern, Ohio Democratic Party past chairman. Chris, are you there? Can you hear us? And we lost Chris, so we're going to come back to that. But Chris,
so have you stayed at his bed and breakfast? And have
no,
you,
no.
And
no,
have
no,
you
no.
have you had drinks at his winery?
No, have not.
Oh, nor okay. have I.
Just
no.
You know,
nor
I,
have I.
No. I mean,
but Chris, in talking to him earlier today and getting ready, I tell you, he's been working on the campaign on the Dettelbach campaign, and obviously exited his term as State Democratic Party chair under a lot of fire. Can you take
he was dumped.
He was dumped. Go
yes.
ahead.
And, in 2014.
And it looks like we do have him now. Chris, are you there?
Chris?
Just give us a second here. Chris Redfern, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
That's good to hear. How are things up in Marblehead?
Well, I can't get you on the Skype work, my friend.
No? Well, we can hear you great.
I didn't know Bertram was no longer with the Vindicator.
Where's he at now?
Because what he just said wasn't true. I didn't know. I didn't know that he was still working there.
What's that, Chris? How are you, by the way?
I was serving my second term.
Yeah.
Bertram. I was serving my third term as state party chair when I decided to step down in 2014.
Yeah.
Wasn't dumped, Bertram, but I love you.
I love you, too. Remember what Harry Michel said about you, right?
I do. God bless his soul. God rest.
Yes, God bless his soul. We can see you now, Chris.
So. Oh.
Oh. You look very relaxed.
I am very relaxed.
Good.
I was just, Bertram and,
yes.
and Todd, I'm chairman of the Ottawa County Party.
Mm-hmm.
The Bellwether County up here in Ottawa County up on Lake Erie. And so the race totals haven't come out here, but if I may just weigh in.
Sure.
You Mahoning County, Hamilton County, Franklin County, Cuyahoga County, record turnout across
right.
the board, Democrat and Republican. I think what you also see tonight going into 2020 is how voters, Democrats and Republicans, enjoy early vote in Ohio. And I think whomever wins the Secretary of State seat, whether it's Frank LaRose, the Republican, or Kathleen Clyde, my friend, the Democrat,
right.
a great deal of pressure to expand that opportunity. You know, voting is not a privilege. It's a right. And if I don't want to speak, I don't give up my First Amendment rights. I don't own a handgun, but I'm certainly a Second Amendment supporter. Voting is a constitutional protection, and we need to expand the franchise. And expanding early vote will not only make lines at the polls, like we saw today across
right.
Mahoning County, less likely, it also speaks to the franchise and the accessibility of the franchise needs.
Yeah, and we have supported the Vindicator editorially, an expansion of voting to make it easier, to make it more convenient for people.
Yeah.
In fact, today, while I was waiting to vote, I wondered, wouldn't it be great if you could vote on a Sunday so that people who went to the churches could then go down to the basement and cast their ballots? Now, wouldn't it be great if you had a holiday declared on election day? So that would make it more convenient. You know, Chris, that the Republicans have been reluctant to expand voting to make it more convenient for good reason. It's much more difficult for people in the inner city, much more difficult for urban voters to get to the polls as it is for people who live in suburban communities. And so that's why I think I agree with you that whoever the next Secretary of State is will have to, and I'm under pressure, I think, from a lot of organizations, will have to sort of respond.
Yeah, there's really no good reason to have the election on a Tuesday in November,
right?
We agree. And the only reason is nefarious, to keep people away from voting. Now, we'll see what happens. I'm getting reports now that in Hamilton County, the early vote went Rich Cordray's way by a wide margin.
Hmm.
I'm also getting reports that in Stark County, in your neighboring area of northeast to far northeast Ohio, that Stark County didn't go Rich Cordray's way in the early
vote.
So, Now, as you know, with Stark County, outside the city of Canton, it's a swing area for Democrats. Republicans have enjoyed some success. Can we read something into it? Not sure quite yet, but we'll see as the night goes on.
Chris, Louis Free here. I hear what you say about, and certainly agree about, expanding voting, but it should be important enough for people also to find a way to get to the polls, to vote.
I disagree.
But it should be important. I agree that, you know, there was early voting here. There was a lot of access. Should there be more? I certainly agree with you. But people need to make it a priority also. It's important.
No. Well, I disagree with that, too. Is it any more important than the freedom of speech or a gun owner's right to carry a concealed weapon?
I don't get your point. It's important to vote. So
Vote.
They'll send it to you in the mail. They'll send you a ballot in the mail. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's great. I agree.
Good.
Early voting. I voted early. I voted a couple of weeks ago. And
I believe. Well, first, and I don't think you and I would have any disagreement. And you're a big advocate, of course, for the freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
To aid the listeners in the valley on any number of issues, local, state, federal, and engage in that kind of debate, small d debate. In the case of voting, there's no good reason why you can send a water bill to everyone's house every month without question, but you cannot continue that process with voting and get the ballot returned free of charge, for instance. Just the prospect of buying a stamp encompasses that constitutional right. I know you know this, but in a lot of states, Ohio being one of them, the legislature has taken steps to reduce the cost or eliminate the cost of registering handguns altogether, because they view the Second Amendment right as not a privilege, but a right. And any encumbrance, any challenge to that, however small, would forsake that Second Amendment right. That's my point. And like freedom of speech, the constitutional right to vote is on which everything else stands, in my opinion.
Hey Chris, let's get you talking about tonight. The energy shown on the Democratic side. How does the energy shown this year in opposition to Trump compare to maybe the two cycles of the Obama vote and also the Hillary vote? Is there more excitement this year than you've seen?
It's much different, and it's something to be wary of, because you can't run against somebody all the time. You have to run for something. That's why you heard aspirational and inspirational messages from Beto O'Rourke versus just attacks on Ted Cruz. You heard inspirational messaging from Rich Cordray versus mere attacks. Now, does it work all the time? Of course not. But does it work more times than not? Sure. And it inspires, especially in statewide national elections, it inspires an electorate that's oftentimes not partisan leaning to begin with. Barack Obama could not have won with just Democratic votes in Ohio. Now, on the flip side, I think it's important that we recognize the difference between a Barack Obama, who many of us who are not engaged in politics had not even heard of prior to his election to the U.S. Senate in 2004, 2006, What's important is that Hillary Clinton underwent an attack for 40 years, dating back to when she was First Lady of Arkansas. The Republicans in the South and then nationally used her as a polarizing political leader, right or wrong. In this case, certainly I would say wrong. And in the case of Republicans running against Hillary, may be something that could get them elected once. It's not going to get them elected over and over and over. They have to run on what they believe in, as Democrats do as well.
So the outcome for tonight, what are you seeing happen in Ohio? Does it turn completely Democrat?
I see it's a slight lean Democrat, maybe a late night, but I think there's a lot of work cut out for us. Ohio's a diverse state. Don't have to tell you about it. You know it's as different as Youngstown to Cleveland. You may be separated by 70 or 80 miles, but those are two very distinct voting populations, even as Democrats. And as Democrats going forward, whether it's tonight or in 2 years, we have to continue to recognize the 8 or 9 different media markets in Ohio and speak to issues first locally and regionally and then statewide. If you do that, you're going to find some success in areas where Democrats have enjoyed partisan support in the past, but also find ways to win in places of the state where you've not seen success in the past.
Hey, Chris, finally, and I think we might have to have taken a lot of your time. Is this a referendum on Donald Trump?
Nationally, yes.
How about the statewide?
Well, statewide, my first instinct is to say sure, because he is such a celebrity, a national, recognized in his rhetoric, criticized primarily by the Democrats. And so it's easy to say this is about Donald Trump. But, you know, the economy is in pretty good shape and has been since Barack Obama took office. It continues to grow under the leadership of Barack Obama, and now Donald Trump is enjoying the success of largely Barack Obama's policies.
Right.
Now, what happens going forward with trade policy? What goes forward with foreign policy and his continued harsh rhetoric and how that kind of isolates, in this case, educated women in the suburbs, will be seen over the coming 2 years. The Republicans are going to lose the Congress.
Right.
Republicans are going to lose the Congress nationally. Will President Trump learn anything? President Trump does not learn anything.
Nope.
He said he acted too harsh in the first couple of years. He wants to be softer.
Yes, he won't learn anything. He is looking for adoring crowds, and that's what he'll continue to search out. This is really important. You know, everybody talks about The Apprentice, how successful it was. You know, on any night, more people watch Nickelodeon. Twice as many people watch Nickelodeon than watch The Apprentice.
But it's not as exciting, though. Come on.
Well, just because you have adoring crowds or high ratings on a certain night doesn't mean the people agree with you.
Chris, I watch SpongeBob on Nickelodeon.
We kind of laugh about that, but more people watch SpongeBob SquarePants than ever watch Donald Trump as The Apprentice.
Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us tonight. What kind of wine are you going to open up tonight?
Cabernet, it's beautiful red. The Lake Erie grape, it's aged 24 months in English oak. It's a great choice. And by the way, we can deliver it to the Vindicator newsroom if Bertram's buying.
Bertram is buying 107 Vindicator Square.
Yes.
Hey, Chris,
thanks a lot for joining us.
Chris.
We'll run that credit card twice. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Have a good night.
I'll get it.
All right, Chris Redfern has joined us. We are joined by Vindicator Managing Editor Mark Sweetwood, getting an early look at the results.
Handhold mic. This is cool.
Handheld, too.
Oh, right.
Handhold. So
we're in our lull. We're in our lull. All the early voting is in all three counties. We're actually on time, which is, election nights flow. So you have a flurry of activity when all the early voting gets in. And then we have this kind of lull as we wait for the actual tabulation from today's voting, which is 27,000 people in Mahoning County casted early votes and 1.3 million across the state, which everyone is saying are standing as record.
So your favorite website is the Mahoning County Board of Elections?
No.
AfterVindy.com?
AfterVindy.com. We're on all of them. We're watching everything from political to Mahoning County to Columbiana County Board of Elections, Trumbull County Board of Elections to the Secretary of State's office. So when pulling off election night, we're monitoring upon everything. So it's but right now there's no surprise.
There's no real numbers to reaction either. Even if they
no,
you wouldn't get excited at this time of the night.
You don't get excited. You want to get things posted. You want to see if you can spot any trends. We're watching a couple. It's kind of interesting in Boardman where the park levy and the renewals lagged a little bit on the early voting, which is generally kind of an interesting test. Those didn't seem to be controversial. Now, in Austin Town, where the police levy is up, and that has caught some debate right now, in the early voting, it was ahead. So that we're looking at the issue, trying to see
issue if one's taking a beating.
Yeah, issue one statewide is taking a beating right now, uh-huh. And it took a beating in early voting here.
Closer.
Yeah. I'm getting stage directions. This is fun.
That's all right. Welcome to our world.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to our world. Our world.
I don't know what this means, but now I do. It's good.
And the football guys pull us off every Friday night.
Exactly.
What are you hearing so far from folks out in the field?
In the field, everyone. I mean, we changed our lineup this year. And we kind of tasked everybody who's following races, the six reporters you mentioned in the field, to, when they got the early voting in, to just start beating up Vinny.com with news watches. We are blighting Twitter up right now. Everyone did a really good job. So what we're hearing from people in the field is that everything seems to be, is given the volume of votes, very smooth.
Wow,
early night glitches. We had some power outages. Ed Runyon was reporting earlier tonight in Warren City. They had a generator. They're operating under some emergency lighting situations. But since everything's paper ballot, they say don't worry about that. They'll get them to a place. They'll get them counted. So a few little glitches like that, but nothing major. No lines. No major breakdowns. We had a couple people call the newsroom today reporting what they thought were oddities and ballots, and in every case that we talked to, they weren't. They were actually.
Sense that people are finding more instances these years. The minute there's a door jams for a second, it's.
We had well-intentioned people call and say, "Hey, I voted in Poland Township today. I didn't see any Mahoney judges in it, but there weren't any in their race, and it's stuff like that. So that's when it's good to have a Dave Skolnick in the newsroom to take the calls and explain to them what was and what was not on their ballot. So you know the. We've heard, given the volume out there, that's kind of what we were kind of counting on. This maybe it bodes well for the night. This might come back and bite me in the butt, you know, in about 3 hours. But given the volume, all the early voting came in actually ahead of schedule. We generally look for early voting between 7:45 and 8, and everybody beat 7:45. Trumbull, Columbia, and Mahoney all beat 7:45.
And every year there seems to be certain angst with how quick the numbers are going to come in, so they're already coming in now.
Well, we call the lull part of the evening. So
early numbers.
Yeah, the early numbers came out, but the actual tabulation from today's votes have not started moving. At least when I left my desk, hadn't started moving yet.
But we do know that Ralph Meacham,
we can call. AP has already called Sherrod Brown.
He's safe.
AP has already called Sherrod Brown. He's safe. I believe AP, when I was coming in, we were checking. I believe AP is about to call Tim Ryan as well. So insofar as those races aren't any big surprises.
So if I look down the slate of numbers, I am good to go as far as sharing these numbers first and early?
Absolutely. Well, right. If you went to Vinny.com and just read around NewsWatch, it'd be even a quicker read.
Nice.
That's kind of a complicated deal there in Mahoney County.
Well, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to, Louis, let's go over these numbers. We're going to swap out. We have Judge Durkin and Judge Baldwin sitting here. Let's go ahead and get Judge Durkin and Judge Baldwin set in, and we will get going. Louis, let's take a look at these numbers so far. In the early ballots, Carol Mediaghetti is at 65%. Bertram, if you want to get our guests to sit in and get comfortable, Louis and I'll go over these numbers. Right there. We're going to join. If you want to have them each on a handheld, Kyle, second handheld, please.
So we're break now and then set them up.
You want to do that? All right, Kyle, can we cut some music? We are going to take a break and get a fifth chair in here, even though Kyle swore against a fifth chair. All right, we're going to boot Louis. You gonna boot Louie? Let's take a break.
Thank you,
See, how about
Your Honor.
That? How about
thank
that?
You.
All right, so we're gonna
thank
take a cut.
You.
All right, we're gonna. We'll be right back
you.
In just a little bit.
You can't boot Louie. You're
right. I said Louie for time. I said one.
I mean,
I
right.
I know I wanna see you, but no, I couldn't. day. I know I wanna hold you, but you know I couldn't, babe.
Can I start? Can I add this as the last lyric? We are good to go. So we are back at Vindy Live Election 2018. Bertram was sitting one chair closer to me because I might be striking him at any minute. Not sure if it is illegal. At least he has judicial support at this moment. I don't know if Anderson ever hit Wolf, but I'm sure off camera Wolf and Anderson have slugged it. But we did have our first clean break. It worked kind of okay. Kyle cut to a great Rick Deke song. Huge fan of Rick Deke and the Vindys and Radio Lark and that whole crew. So Rick, thanks for the music to use on Vindy.com. We are joined by two folks who just had a great embrace 30 seconds ago because the first results on issue one. Judge Durkin, Judge Baldwin, welcome to 2018 election. Your life has been spent the last couple weeks about issue one.
It has. And first of all, I honestly want to thank the Vindicator, the editorial board, for educating our community, for educating the voters in Mahoning, Trumbull, Columbiana County as to this important
issue. We're going to grab your mic, Judge. One second here. That's okay. We're going to test your mic. We're good to go. Or we can share mics. There we go. All right. Good. You said something great about Bertram, I think it was.
Todd, you were included. But I wanted to thank the Vindicator, the editorial board, for the efforts that you have put forth in educating our voters as to State Issue 1. I think you were the very first in the state to have a debate to educate people across the state about this important topic. So first of all, thank you for your continued efforts.
And I will say that that live debate went very well. I got people calling me from Columbus. First of all, sort of surprised that the Vindicator could actually do something like that, which in a way is insulting.
I'm so surprised right now. This is barely on.
And then they talked about how informative it was, and both sides. And I explained to them that the issue for us was basically the constitutional amendment, not the actual meat of that whole issue about drug sentencing, prison overcrowding, and all, which must be addressed. And both of you judges know that.
Yes.
You're on the front lines of this whole thing. So let's speak to that. If the hug that Todd referred to was the early returns statewide that showed it losing handedly. If in fact that's the result ultimately, what should be done? How do you address this issue of the drug sentencing, overcrowding, and all of those? So each one, you can take your time and explain that.
I had a long conversation just last night with Paul Pfeiffer, the former justice from the Supreme Court, and Judge Dave Mattia, who sits as a common pleas court judge in Cuyahoga County and also runs a drug court. And the conversation was specifically to that question. If we were successful in defeating State Issue 1, we could hug, we can celebrate tonight, but the work actually needs to start tomorrow because some legitimate issues have been raised through this amendment. And the judiciary needs to be at the table with both the legislative and the executive branch to address a number of things. Expanding drug courts.
So one of the issues does stand out for you that we can fix or we can address? What of the referendum? What are the issues they brought up? Do you want to
earn credit for people in prison? Currently, Ohio sits at the very bottom nationally as it relates to inmates who participate in programs being able to earn their way out with reduced sentences. So something needs to be done both through the Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections, the legislative branch, and the judiciary to address that issue. Issue one went part way. It said if you participate in programs,
right,
you get earned credit. Let's say you complete programming and you get earned credit, and that earned credit should be expanded. Currently, it's 25%. Again, Ohio, it would have been 25% with
right.
State Issue 1. We are at the bottom right now, so that's one of the primary things that need addressed. The other is expanding treatment through drug courts.
Drug courts. Go ahead, Judge.
I think people are concerned, primarily the minority members of this state, our citizens who are involved, and I'm happy to see so many people engaged in this election cycle. And it's the collateral consequences that the African American and Hispanic community are all too familiar with of I commit a crime, I rehabilitate myself somehow, I stay out of trouble, but this old offense is hanging over my head. It stays with me, so I can't get funding to go to school. I can't get housing. So I do my time, but this felony 4, felony 5, felony 3, even a felony 2 or felony 1 becomes a life sentence. And that's what we have to stop. But I think the most effective way to do it is, like Judge Zirkin said, we all have to be at the table because we are all seeing these things from our vantage point. And so anytime legislation is enacted and all the parties aren't at the table, that's why we have all these amendments.
And frankly, I think that's where the responsibility lies with the judiciary. Mm-hmm. You know, you who are on the front lines know better than anybody what the ramifications of sentencing are, what the ramifications of sending somebody to prison or to jail is. And since the Chief Justice and you have both sort of taken a very, very strong position against State Issue 1, I'm wondering whether there will be enough pressure brought to bear on the state legislature to actually address this issue. Because frankly, and I don't want to be political about this, but so long as Republicans control the General Assembly, many of those Republicans are not from urban areas.
Correct.
They don't understand what's going on in
exactly.
urban America. They look at their lovely communities that they are from, and that's sort of what guides them as far as legislation goes. So what can we expect? Because those of us who endorsed your position are going to be looking for the next step.
I know that Paul Pfeiffer and the Ohio Judicial Conference have had conversations with Senator Larry Auboff.
Oh, good.
And there's a recognition now with the State Issue 1 movement that real change needs to take place, and it needs to be a combined effort with the legislature and the judiciary. Because one thing we are certain of, if meaningful change does not take place, then it would be very easy for these proponents
right.
with their money
right.
to come back
right.
to the state
mm-hmm.
and said, we gave you more than one bite at the apple,
right.
and specifically in 2018,
mm-hmm. right.
you rejected it and did so with the promise that
right.
meaningful change would take place. And if that doesn't occur, then Ohio is going to face perhaps another constitutional amendment.
Agreed.
What about drug courts? How do you... You know, your court has been recognized not only statewide but nationally for what has occurred, and you know, graduates have talked about how, you know, this was a chance that they needed and were given. Do you think there's going to be enough funding, both on a federal level and a state level, to finance these kinds of expansion of drug courts?
I think so. I think the legwork and the preparation comes from the team. Like, I preside over a Veterans Treatment Court, which is essentially drug court specifically for veterans.
Right.
And so my staff does that in addition to their regular duties. They get no extra pay, but they're all in. And our treatment providers, they willingly come to the table, and they provide support. So it takes time, But if you have the right people in place, you can make it happen. And it's not costing us any additional money. And there's money out there through grants and different things that we can work with providers, and I believe with our state legislator and, you know, whoever is in the governor's house, you know, to make this change happen so we can help more people.
When you look back at what has happened to, I mean, everyone does agree that what's happened to our state, something to our country, with the opioid abuse and the deaths has been traumatic. When you look at what's gone on the last 3 years in our state, have we been as active as we can? Have we been quick to jump to a fix, or do you think we've just been kind of awash and figured out what is the problem and not really acting quickly enough? Could we have been quicker?
I think it's been too splintered. So we've had task forces with the governor's office. We've had task forces with the attorney general. We've had task forces with the Supreme Court and through the Supreme Court, all well-intentioned. We've had many bills introduced through the legislature, but I don't think there's been a concerted, combined effort from all of those groups to address the issue. We've done a lot, and in fact, drug-related overdose deaths have actually dropped as it relates to heroin.
Mm-hmm.
They've increased, unfortunately, with fentanyl, but the drug has changed. Interdiction now says that heroin is down and cocaine, high-grade marijuana, and methamphetamine is actually on the rise. So it's not just an opioid issue. It's always going to be a substance abuse issue, no matter what the drug of the day might be. But there needs to be a more concerted, unified effort across the state from those groups to address the issue.
Well, we are thrilled to have had you join us tonight.
Thank you very much,
Thank
judges.
You.
We appreciate it. Thanks for coming by.
And good luck and the rest of the night. Where are you going to be heading?
And I hope no blows are
right. We wanted
the
to remain peaceful between the two of you.
This is
I don't want to see you in my court in the morning.
No, it's never going to happen again. We are joined by Dave Yost. Let's go ahead and get Dave Yost on the phone. Larry's going to join us in a second, and we'll get Dave Yost going.
We need somebody to work.
Yeah, please.
Okay, I'll take him out.
All right. No, Louis.
Oh, Louis will?
Go ahead and take him out. You good? Yep, absolutely.
Thanks, judges.
Thank you. Mr. Yost.
Good evening.
Mr. Yost, how are you, sir? You are live on Vindy.com. Thanks for joining us.
It's good to be connected to the valet by telephone.
Yeah, you're talking to Todd Franco and your great friend Bertram D'Souza.
You know, I've always called you by your title and by your office because out of respect. But this being election day, I think I'm going to call you Dave, at least for tonight. Is that all right?
That would be entirely appropriate.
Oh, thank you.
Although Todd, I have to tell you, I have friends off duty who happen to work in the news media, but I have no friends in the news media.
No?
No.
Well, you can call me a friend, though.
Yeah, Todd,
it's a Zen thing.
I'll be your friend.
Todd likes to be called a friend, unlike me.
Oh, right.
No, Bertram doesn't want friends. Bertram wants associates.
Well, how are things going tonight? And we appreciate you calling in, Dave. And give us a sense.
Oh, good to hear your voice.
Give us a sense of what's going on.
Right. So I'm down in Columbus. So like everybody else, watching the early returns come in, and we don't have enough numbers yet to be meaningful. What we do know is that there was a level of turnout not seen in years, maybe decades, for a midterm election.
Right.
And ultimately, that's healthy for democracy, and the winner is going to be the people of Ohio, however the election turns out.
And looking at this election, there's no doubt that the governor's race attracted a lot of attention, but so did your race. And just as an aside, the other day, Todd Franco asked me to come in, and I was chatting with him about tonight, and he asked a question about your commercial, the commercial where you're walking off the baseball field with a kid. And,
yes.
And he wanted to know who that kid was. And so could you tell us who this kid is? Because we were speculating.
Because clearly of different race. for the folks that are looking.
Well, it's my grandson.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
He's 4.5 years old. His name's Titus.
Yeah.
And he's my pride and joy. I love him dearly.
Cute kid. You know. But I'm glad you sort of set us straight on that, because we weren't trying to, I thought it was a prop, you know, because that's the way I think. But I should give you more credit than that, but I'm sorry.
Did a lot of people jump to any conclusion on social media? How did social media treat that ad?
You know, I had some questions that people just asked, a non-leading question and said, now, who is that? So perfectly reasonable to ask.
Where was the baseball game?
It was at a park here on the east side of the city, and it's an older neighborhood. I told him I didn't want to be out in some manicured suburb. I wanted to, be in a place that looked like people lived there.
So let's talk about, as you said, this is still early as far as the results go. But
yes.
Give us your sense of this election, how it compares to others that you've run in. Was it nastier than in the past? Or was it issue related? How did you sense, how do you sort of analyze this race?
Well, in a large sense, I think we're looking, and it's still early. I mean, we're
right.
still figuring out what's happening, but I think we're looking at an election that is going to be something people are going to talk about for years. This is a historic election, and a lot of different things swirling in this in the brew, if you will. I don't know that. This election as an election was any nastier than in the past. And certainly, having been in it, I have to recognize my subjective experience and say that I'm hardly the one to ask about it. But I think it does reflect the nature of our discourse. And, however things turn out tonight, it seems likely to me that there will be some division of power in both the state and the nation.
Right.
And I think it's incumbent upon the partisans who are elected to cease the perpetual campaign. And they're being elected not to set up the next election, but they're being elected to govern.
Right. And now that the polls have closed, let's get down to and put your journalist hat on for a minute.
It's pretty dusty. It's tattered and old.
But remember, that's one of the reasons we've supported you in the past, because you bring a journalist sense to government. And I've had pushback from other people who've said to me, what the hell does that mean? And I said, well, journalists are pure as the driven snow, so here we are. isn't it, the sort of, the sense of a nation and the way the nation is and behaves sort of starts with the person who is at the very top. And, you have to acknowledge that President Trump has realized that this, divide and conquer, this take no prisoners form of politics works for him. Do you get a sense that after this election, if there is divided government, if the Democrats take the House of Representatives, if Rich Cordray is elected governor, that the president will recognize that, maybe he needs to reassess?
Well, I have no idea how the president will assess an election that hasn't occurred or hasn't been tabulated yet. And look, I don't think that the president causes the divisions out there. I think the divisions exist, and the politicians are actually reflecting the country. I mean, Chuck Schumer and Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi have been every bit as divisive, just in a politically more correct kind of way. The fact of the matter is we're not talking to each other very well.
Right.
We're certainly not listening to each other. And we need to rethink as a society how we're going to make decisions and how we're going to learn to live together.
Right.
And those things frayed badly, and they were fraying badly long before anybody had heard of the current president as a politician.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, since all politics is local, I'm sure you're aware that we, the Vindicator, endorsed you for one very important reason, that we firmly believe that if public corruption in the Mahoning Valley is to be cleaned up, it has to be cleaned up by someone who is firmly committed to, you know, making sure that our reputation does not, you know, precede us anymore. So, for the sake of our viewers, what can we expect from Attorney General Dave Yost come January?
Well, it's, as you're aware, there is a major indictment pending that is being tried by the Attorney General's office. If I'm elected tonight, we will continue that action and pursue it to the full extent of the law. We will also, I've compared investigations in the past to a ball of string, and you don't really know what the end of that ball of string looks like, and you just have to keep tugging on the end
right.
you have and unraveling it and following it where it goes. That's the way you do it in law enforcement, and I'm committed to continue that path. Now, that being said, it's important to note that under the Constitution and under the statutes of our state, the Attorney General does not have prosecution authority except in certain very limited circumstances.
Right.
It rests with the county prosecutor.
Right.
And the current action against former Mayor Samarone and Mr. Marchionda, Mr. Bozanich, is being undertaken by an appointment by
right.
The county prosecuting attorney, with whom I served on the board of the Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association.
Oh, okay.
I know Paul well.
Oh, all right. So do we. Yeah. Louis?
No, go on.
So anyway, I don't know how much more time you have, but what...
I've got about five more minutes if you
okay.
want to talk. I wouldn't blame you if I'm losing you viewers and listeners by the moment.
No, I don't think
no,
you
no.
are, because all our viewers and listeners, at least the ones who tune into Vindy.com, are as concerned about public corruption as we are. Quickly, though, what counties are you watching to determine what the outcome is going to be?
I'm sorry, what am I...
what counties are you looking at to see, you know, how things are going to end up for you?
Oh, we're just watching the Secretary of State's website here at Yost for Ohio.
No, but in particular counties that you have seen that you think are going to make the difference for you?
Oh, which counties?
Yeah. Like, you know...
I'm actually watching Mahoning County and Trumbull County because I've spent so much time up there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see how that comes in. Plus, the Trump voter something that everyone is watching around the country.
Yeah.
You know, what happens with the folks that voted for a Barack Obama? In 2012 and turned around and voted for President Trump.
Right.
And we should get a clue from this midterm, how they're viewing their allegiance. And that'll be very interesting. I will tell you that this is a very difficult election to analyze. I'm sure you're finding the same thing,
yes.
Todd Bertram. I know you're students of politics. because the turnout is so much heavier and
right.
because of the kind of realignments that we've seen, first with the Obama ascendant coalition and now the Trump coalition, it's really kind of uncertain, how to read the tea leaves. So, a county like Delaware County, which is typically where a Republican would make up the statewide totals that we lose, in certain places in Northeast Ohio. Ordinarily I'm wanting to see 62-65% for a Republican statewide, or better out of Delaware County.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if we get out of the 50s.
Well, listen, thanks very much again for joining us, Dave. All the best tonight. We look forward to seeing the result, and then depending on what the result is, I hope we keep in touch.
Well, Bertram, you know that every time I come to Youngstown, I try to make a point to stop by and visit the Vindicator, and you can expect that to continue.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And we are about to be joined momentarily by Congressman Ryan.
Total result for Ryan, do we have?
Hello.
How are we?
Hi, I have Ryan for you.
Great. Glad to hear it. We're eager to join Congressman Ryan.
Could you give us a sec?
All right.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Interview, but I'll call you back.
Oh, we're live.
Yeah, we are.
And
Louie, glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be here.
Love
you. Great seeing
you. It was nice.
Hey, guys.
Congressman Ryan, how are you?
Doing good.
So your opponent sent out an email thanking his supporters, and so has he called you?
He has not. No, he has not.
Okay.
He has not. But I think the race has been called, and
yes,
we're excited. We're happy with the number, and. We worked really hard, and I think we had an opportunity. He worked hard, too. I give him credit. He was out working and, gave us an opportunity, too, to get our message out about what we've been doing and what the long-term plan is for the area. So I thought it was good all the way around.
What do you think the ultimate number is going to be, or is it too early to speculate for you?
In our race?
Yes.
I think it's going to be around. I saw 67. I think that's generally where it's going to be.
Okay.
Maybe 65, 66, 67, right around there. I didn't see exactly what had come in yet. We usually do pretty well out in Summit, and
right.
I haven't seen the Summit numbers, and they had a really high turnout, so that may affect it a little bit. But my assumption is, and my guess was, it was going to be in the high 60s.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at Mahoning County, and I don't know how latest these numbers are, but I'm looking at 69 in Mahoning County. So, that's
yeah,
that's
good.
Bad.
We usually do a little bit better in Mahoning.
Right.
That's usually percentage-wise our best county. We tend to do really well there, and so I think that's probably where the number will be in the high 60s somewhere. So I'm really happy with it.
When does the national conversation about the House start with you specifically? When do you all start sizing up the trends and start looking at what tomorrow morning looks like for you?
Well, right now, we're literally, I've got my staff is in town from Washington, and we're going through all the numbers and the candidates and watching all the races and monitoring it race by race. And we got spreadsheets and, all kinds of information at our fingertips here. So we're monitoring it as we speak and, having conversations about what the future of the party looks like, what the future of the House leadership looks like. And that will be determined by all of these races tonight. So literally within the next few hours, we should know.
So we're looking at two specific races, the one for governor of Ohio. How do you think that's trending right now?
It looked like it's trending well, but I've just been getting pulled in a million different directions.
Sure.
I haven't had a chance to see what numbers came in from around the state. The Democrats were all up, but the southern, you know, we all know Ohio's 88 counties,
right.
And we've got some big metropolitan areas that are blue and vote Democrat, and a lot of the rural areas are red. Sometimes those are slower to come in, the smaller counties, more spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know what's in yet, but it looked like it was going well for Democrats, and I think it's going to be neck and neck for just about everybody.
Congressman Louis Free here. Quick question. Presidential run in your future?
Not sure. You know, we're going to – for step one is the House leadership. I you know, I'm in a position now where I want to help influence the party, and that means in the short term what's happening with the House leadership. And I want to make sure that, you know, we get that squared away and get the proper people in place and all of that. And, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be me or not me. I'm not sure. I haven't ruled it out, but I'm not saying I'm going to do it either. And, you know, I also want to be influential in what happens in 2020. I just think our party needs to ground zero needs to be places like Youngstown, period. And the strategy to come back in Youngstown and how to take care of people in Youngstown
right.
and how to provide opportunity in Youngstown.
So
whether that means something in 2020 or not, I can't speculate.
As you take off on a national stage, you know, assuming tonight wraps up as it's trending, do you see your need to take on a different tone? Trump obviously has a unique tone that baffles everybody, but it gets crowds, it gets action going. Do you find yourself and the Democrats getting pulled in a more boisterous tone?
I hope not. You know, I'm not in the school of thought, you know, they go low, we go lower. I don't think that's a good long-term strategy for the party. I think the country and the people want an elevated conversation about the future of the country. I mean, we don't have to look any further than Youngstown. You know, what's the future? Additive manufacturing, business software, advanced manufacturing, you know, research, you know, what's bringing downtown Youngstown back, you know, that's
right.
kind of a recipe for the country. And that's exciting and inspiring. And I think if our party talks about those big things, including, you know, the bread and butter stuff, too, health care, pensions and all of that. But like, what's the big vision for the country? I think that will trump Trump. You know, I think he's very narrow. There's no big long term strategy. It's little fights that are happening, and I think people are really tired of it, and I think you're seeing some of that response tonight in the elections.
But yet, Congressman, his base of support, regardless of what happens, remains firmly in his with him, regardless of what he says, regardless of what he does. So how does that, you know, how do you overcome that?
We need a new brand. I mean, the Democratic Party's brand is terrible. I mean, the Republican brand is terrible, and Trump's brand isn't much better, but the economy is doing okay for, you know,
yes.
I would say a lot of people.
Right.
It's stable. Even if you got your nose above water, your nose is above water. So you're it's the way things have been the last 10 or 15 years, you're happy with that. So you're going to be less inclined to change. The Democratic brand is toxic. It looks elitist. It looks coastal,
yes.
and that's been the problem. We don't resonate with working class people anymore, and Trump kind of capitalized on that. And when the economy's going good, they're going to default to that. And so that's why I've been so adamant. People say, you know, run for president, run for that. We need to change the brand, and the first step in changing the brand is changing House leadership.
Sure.
And then the next step in that is 2020. So we got to take this one step at a time. But if we don't change our brand, we're going to be in the wilderness.
You know, what struck me in the midst of all of this election stuff and all of that was that story, the Bloomberg story about Mitch McConnell talking about Social Security and Medicare. You know,
yep.
That resonates with our readers, with our people in our region. You know, here are these members of Congress, the Republicans, who have no qualms about talking about, you know, cutting benefits, raising retirement age. I mean, those are the kinds of issues I think that would resonate with the larger population in the country.
Well, our problem, you're exactly right, Bertram. I mean, and the problem is our party did not have any legitimate national spokesperson
yes,
in this
sure.
election cycle.
Yes, yes,
we've got
sure.
McConnell said that, and we should have stuck it where the sun doesn't shine.
Absolutely.
You know, and we never did that. and we lost the narrative on the caravan. We lost the narrative on Kavanaugh. We lost the narrative on the economy. We lost the narrative on all of these things because, quite frankly, you know, Nancy Pelosi cannot, does not have a national presence that is positive.
Sure.
And so we were not able to respond to this. Let me give you a real quick example. This caravan.
Right.
We don't even have an ambassador in Honduras. The president has cut the State Department budget. So where most presidents would have stopped that problem,
right,
like read their presidential daily briefing every day, find out where the hot spots are, and then try to keep them, if you can't stop them, keep them contained. He ignored it. He's with Kanye West, and he's tweetering and having fights with NFL football players. Meanwhile, now they're coming to our border, and he's going to be the strong man and say, I'm going to stop at the border. You caused the problem in the first place, or at least caused the problem to leave Honduras and come to the United States. And it's another example of why a little bit of investment and awareness in some of these countries prevent bigger problems from happening. Those are the kind of messages we got to define, but you can't do it if you don't have a national spokesperson.
Here's the problem that you face, Congressman, because you took on a Nancy Pelosi the last time around, and because of that, it has become a national political figure, a Democratic figure. The problem is, if the Democrats take back the House of Representatives, won't Pelosi be able to argue that it was her leadership that caused this switch?
I don't think so. I mean, I know that will be her angle, but sure, the reality of it is, if we win, I don't even know if we're going to win the House back. I mean, that's to be determined, but if we win 30 seats, I guarantee you she would not and has not stepped foot in 25 of them, because she does not play well in those congressional districts. So, and people say, well, she raises all the money. Well, yeah, she raises all the money to respond to the ads that the Republicans are running, hanging her around the necks of our candidates.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've got to start saying, wait a minute, what's in the best interest of the party? What's in the best interest of our members? Is this a good use of our money? And it can't be about one person. It's got to be about what's happening to the country right now. And there's no real good alternative or opposition to Donald Trump. And that's because our leadership is toxic at this point.
Sure is. I agree.
So I got to let you guys go.
Thanks.
It was great talking with
Congressman,
you. Congressman,
thank you, Congressman. Appreciate it. Congratulations. And
thank
we'll
you.
Talk again.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. You know, sir, that we need to turn off our mics, right?
No, mics are good.
Because here's that was interesting, because it is, he's almost announcing that there is going to be a leadership fight. If the Democrats take back, or even if they don't, and he's going to go back and he's going to take on
Him. Up during the conversation.
Yes, it did.
Sure did.
And he's
sure
going to
did.
Take on Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Because, you
That's
know,
clear.
It is good. He's a young, you know, speaks well known around the country. He's been traveling the country on behalf of other members of Democrats running for Congress, because, you know, they know the sort of, this is blue collar, Rust Belt background.
Well,
it'll
be interesting to see in talking with Chris Redford earlier today and asking about it's likely that happens with Tim, and in talking about the Tim situation on the national stage, Chris said he's got to work a little harder.
Yeah.
That he's got too cushy of a situation there.
Right.
It doesn't motivate him to work harder than he has to do. And Chris said he's got to get more out of his team and out of himself.
And I know that you know, I've already made clear what I believe he should do, and running for president, I think is too early for him, because he's still, even though he's known nationally, because he's on CNN a lot and he's on the cable show
and Fox too.
On Fox too, I think the my candidate right now to go up against Donald Trump is Bloomberg, because first of all, he's richer than Donald Trump, and legitimately, by the way. He did not inherit $400 million. He has created a global entity. In addition to which, he knows how Donald Trump makes his money, because he's in New York City.
Yeah.
He was the mayor. He knows the deals that Trump gets into. Plus, I think Bloomberg is the kind of person who, when he speaks, people sort of get this idea that here's somebody that you can actually trust. And I think, but for a running mate, Tim Ryan would be one, would be ideal.
With Bloomberg.
Because it's middle America, you know, it's flyover states, it's blue collar, it's Rust Belt, and it's, you know,
it
really would be. And I'm, you know, but then again, you know, you sort of get the bug and people whisper in your ear like they do to you all the time, that, you know, Todd makes you
Todd
feel that you can walk on water. And, you know, you have all of these.
Only one person who ever whispered. Actually, I whispered to you first, and I heard about it third hand. We're gonna cut to a video, Kyle. All right, so we have, again, there's six reporters out in Mahoning County.
Okay.
One of the best local reporting team that the Valley has here at the Vindicator. Proud to have them. And they are out in the Valley field right now, and we're going to have a report from Ed Runyon up in Trumbull County. Let's go ahead.
This is Ed Runyon reporting on Trumbull County. In Niles today, school voters were asked to approve a new type of levy, a substitute levy, which was trying to have voters renew two existing levies into one. There was a slight wrinkle in it in that new construction could give the school district some additional revenue, but otherwise they've indicated it would cost voters no additional money. From talking to voters leaving the United Methodist Church in Niles today, it's clear that some people were in favor of the levy just on the grounds that they support their schools and wanted to give their kids the best opportunity possible. But there were those who expressed concern that they weren't real sure what this levy was or that the school district had not really explained it completely.
Okay, so do we have another caller?
So no, let's go take a look at the headlines. Let's go take a look at the headlines.
Hold on a minute, I think Louis said...
No, called you on your phone.
Oh, he did, all right, now go ahead.
So I'm going to take a quick glance at the headlines here, guys.
The Vindicator.
On the Vindicator headlines, Vindy.com, Representative Johnson releases part of his victory speech.
Yeah.
In Columbiana County, Johnson and Halleck are in comfortable leads.
Okay.
The Youngstown Charter Amendments lead. Fracking is failing.
Okay.
DeWine is leading cord race statewide. Let's take a look at those most recent numbers. It's about 51-49 is what I saw a few minutes ago.
Okay, so it's still close.
51-45. 51 DeWine, 45 cord race.
Okay.
On the and then your pal... Yost is 53-46.
Okay.
And then going back to some of the local stuff, Niles school levies getting beat pretty well. Carol Remedio Rigetti, 65% of the absentee vote goes to her. Longer term supporter for Canfield council members. And
what about the state representative?
De Janeiro behind in the Supreme Court race.
State behind.
The statewide?
Okay. Yeah. Well, she would. Okay. What about the 33rd State Senate, Bocheri and Rulli?
Well, give me a second here to go to that one. That's a good race to get in on.
Yeah.
So that's the federal, that's the statewide, Attorney General, State Senator Bocheri. It is 62% for Bocheri and 37% for Rulli.
Okay.
Let's update that number so you can get a. It is 62-37.
Okay.
The sandwich is in. How many?
27 of 212. Very early.
So this morning, this afternoon, I was on Channel 21 for their noon show, and Justin, the politics editor, producer, made the statement that, you know, they're talking about the Bocheri-Rulli race, and I know you, Louis, have a place in your heart for Rulli because of the vegetables they sell.
Oh, I'd love the best produce sector, absolutely.
But anyway, so Justin made the statement that this race is going to be an interesting race to watch because Rulli's name is well known, and after all, a lot of people know that he sells, you know, chicken at lower prices than other places.
Not in the chicken.
And I said, I said, here's the difference.
No.
So here's the the campaign. So Rulli sells chicken cheap, and Bocheri serves in the military and goes to Iraq. It's a real great choice. Now I know you, Todd, and you,
Louis
believe that Rulli, you know, is sort of. No, I don't understand. I know you, because you like to buy pomegranates from...
I love pomegranates.
I know you do. But, Todd, I'm trying to figure out your aversion to Bocelli.
It's not so much an aversion to Bocelli. I think I just have an affinity for a businessman. I think I like a guy who... And you say inherited the family business. I say kept the family business and took it to another level. I think a lot of times we are cynical about the next generation of family members who take the family business and take it down a level and ruin it and squander it. Here's a upstanding businessman
third generation, taking,
third generation taking it up. And the and to the Bocelli side, I think the only issue with John, I'm not a fan of the crazy Metro Parks legislation from a couple of years ago. I thought was pretty absurd. So a slight nick toward John in that regard. The mill to ask the entire state to change the way they govern their Metro Parks because of
the problem.
If we had to change things here in Mahoney County, because what's going on over in Hamilton County, I think we would laugh at the Hamilton County legislature.
Well, see, I
can't let go of that. I'm still going here.
Right.
You invited me.
No,
can I
no, that's right. That's because you're
so
just saying, and I need
so
to
sit back and that. Watch you guys get
I'm holding on to that like
yes.
an on me. Hockey puck.
Yes, you are.
But that said, I'm an admirer of what Mike is doing as a businessman.
But let me say what Mike since we're talking about Mike and I'm not questioning his business acumen.
Yeah,
and I'm not
you
questioning how he's
work.
Done. But what struck me, and I was willing to concede to you, Todd, and to concede to you, Louis, about Rulli, until you told me that there was a time when he played in a punk rock band.
He was in college.
And I'm thinking, you know, I didn't know a lot of college students who could afford not to work every week, not to work every vacation, to forego summer vacations in order to get enough money to go back to school.
Actually,
and
got paid
so
for playing.
You know,
it was an income for him.
It was income.
In the back of it. And I'm sure if you listen, I'm sure if he was playing Peter, Paul, and Mary, you would love him. But the fact that he played punk and not Peter, Paul, and Mary, and wasn't hanging out by some 60s kumbaya music, you have issues with it. Let's pretend he's saying Peter, Paul, and Mary. I'm sure you appreciate it.
How many roads must
I? All right, let's go. So that's the numbers there. So that's the numbers there.
That's sort of.
And then so at 27 precincts in, John Bocelli 62%.
Yeah, but that's only Mahoney County.
Exactly.
Right?
That's just in the county. Actually, a tight number between Eric Ungaro and Don Manning.
Yeah.
56.
Manning's been around a long time.
56, 43%. In our county, obviously, Mary DeGeneres, 57 to 42,
but
looks
she's
like
losing
she's,
statewide, you said.
Our headline says she's down statewide.
All right.
So,
now, of course, the 33rd State District is also, it's not just Mahoney County.
33rd is Eric's? No. Which one are you looking for him? Oh, for...
The 33rd, I'm looking to see what other numbers are in, but that's, Mahoney County is the major part of it, I think, so...
So that's what we're going so far for
then,
tonight's results. How about the Youngstown Charter Amendments? Any thoughts on those?
Well, yeah, those were the problem we had with them, and they wanted to, you know, to do away with term limits and all of that. The problem was they never had any hearings. There was no public input. There was no charter committee that was put together to do this. And it sort of makes me cringe when, you know, legislators trying to
to
sort of do this under the thing. Now, how did the fracking?
Give me a second here. You guys chatter. Let me get a couple things called up here.
I just about Rulli and Bocelli. An affinity or a vote for Michael Lloyd doesn't necessarily mean you know this better than anybody that you don't like the other person. You're
No. I think
a lot of people vote against.
Sure. No, we're in good service regardless.
And yes, I do love the produce department. I love the color.
Yeah, I heard when you walk into the store, they actually make an announcement that Louis in the house.
They say,
and then all of those people from bakery and all just sort of come.
No, not bakery, produce.
Oh, just
and
produce?
What the announcement is, if you want produce, get it now because here comes Louis.
Hey, let's take a look at the let's take a look at the county court numbers.
Okay.
This has been a competitive race.
It really is.
So Kathy McNabb Welsh at 25%, Molly Johnson at 22%.
You know, and that's...
That's very early. Here's a little inside
baseball stuff. So we being the Vindicator editorial board, did interviews with all of these candidates for county court, and we invited them all, and we got responses
except from
Molly. So I call her because I knew her family. I knew
Attorney Nils
Johnson. And so I call her and I say to Molly, I say, you know, you haven't responded to our invitation to come in for an editorial board meeting. Can you explain why? And she said,
and I quote,
she said, because I'm too young and I don't think I'll get your endorsement. And I said, and I don't know the woman.
Yeah.
I don't know her. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, you know, and I said, no, that we don't judge on that basis. I said, we judge on the basis of let me think about it. But she never came in. So when she said young, you know, my grandfatherly thing came in, and I did a check on her resume. Perhaps she was defining herself as young compared to all the others. But I thought she was talking
politics, probably.
Probably young in politics. But I thought when she said young, I thought she was like in her late 20s maybe and all of that. But she's not, and I don't want to use her age, but she wasn't in the 20s like I thought she would have been.
Kyle, can you call that guest?
So,
want to call? We're going to be joined by an interesting voice.
Who is that voice?
Paul Jagnow.
Let's see if Kyle's going to get us going here.
Perfect.
Are we going to be connected?
Wow.
So,
wow.
Marilyn, are you there?
Hello?
Marilyn. Hello, Marilyn.
Yes. This is a friend of Marilyn's. I'm going to put you on the phone with Marilyn right now.
Great. Thank you very much. So.
All right. Here she is.
Hi. Marilyn here.
Marilyn, how are you? This is Todd Franco.
Hi. I'm trying to switch it. We want it to be a video.
We would love to have you on video.
Hold on 1 second, Todd.
This whole Skype thing is new to all of us. You just take your time down there in Georgia.
We're trying to figure out how to make this louder and a video. Hold on 1 second. Just keep staying there.
You're good.
We can't quite figure out what we're doing wrong.
Hit the button that shows the camera.
You see me?
Not yet.
Wait.
Hit the button that has
the
camera.
There.
All right. So
hold on. Wait. I think we're almost there.
The audio's great.
Yeah.
If we need to stick
there
to audio.
There you are.
All right. So we are joined. Hey, Marilyn. If you can turn your camera the other way, hold your camera sideways.
Horizontally.
Turn it sideways.
Wait. Like this. Did that work?
Is it going to switch over, Kyle? It's not going to switch over because we're already in call. All right, keep it vertical. We shouldn't have switched you.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
Wait, we're almost there. Wait.
We're fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Here we go.
All right, so Marilyn G-Wax is in one of the greatest election hubs going right now tonight. Marilyn, tell us where you're at, where you're calling us from.
I am in my home office, but I am having trouble hearing you.
Are you?
Can you
hear us okay now?
But the speaker is off.
So Marilyn G. Wax, a legend of NPR reporting, left Washington, D.C., retired. And
yes.
Can you hear us?
Wait.
We can see you and we can hear you.
Yes, very clearly.
Now I can hear you, but I can't see.
That's okay. Don't even worry about it.
We can see you.
The audio is exceptional.
That's just us do audio.
Yeah, audio is great.
Marilyn, can you hear us?
Okay, now I'm there.
Great.
Now I can hear you, and I can see you. Can you see me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm actually at home in a home office. If we're going to do this, tell me when,
we're doing it live.
Marilyn, we are doing it now.
Oh, no.
Yes, we're doing great. So
I'm sorry, I've been at a little gathering here at my own house where we're watching the election returns, and so it's been a little confusing where I was trying to use someone else's phone to join you, but it's good to see you folks. How are you all in Youngstown?
We're doing great. We still have you sideways. You want to try and turn your hold the camera?
There you are. Good.
Perfect.
Perfect.
All right, stop.
Perfect.
Everything's good.
Perfect.
All right.
All right. Now I can actually hear you. I can't see you.
That's fine. Let's keep it. You are doing great.
We didn't get any better looking. We didn't get any better looking.
So Marilyn, if I can introduce you, you are
retired
great from NPR.
And, yes, I did.
And Washington National NPR host. Camel, Ohio native. And if anyone wants to get to Google some point tonight and Google Marilyn G. Wax on Google, you find some great pieces that you've offered of your hometown for NPR, and you wanted to get out of the craziness of D.C. and thought you'd go back to quiet Georgia where the elections would be much quieter and everything would be great. Tell us what's going on in Georgia tonight.
Well, I did. I wanted to get away from Washington. I just wrote, in fact, this year recently about my 45th high school reunion at Camel Memorial. So I decided after 40-some years of being a journalist that I would try to step away from Washington and get a little quieter. It didn't work out that way because it turns out Georgia is just as crazy as Washington tonight. The thing that's been happening here that's really been very interesting and gripping is the election involving the governor's race. The person who's running for governor on the Republican ticket is currently the Secretary of State. So the Secretary of State is in charge of making sure that the election is run fairly and that the votes are counted properly. But he's also the candidate for governor.
Right.
So people worry about voter suppression are saying, wait a minute, this is like he's Tom Brady and he's the referee. You know, would that make you question the results if the person who is running the race and in this position, should he really be the one to count the votes? Now, his opponent is Stacey Abrams, and she has made a long-time issue out of voter suppression, looking at ways that people in poor districts, especially African-American voters, have not had an opportunity to have as easy voting. You know, that for example, they close precincts and make you go much further distances and things like that, especially in rural South Georgia. So she's been pushing this for a long time. So instead of talking about big issues in this race, I mean, you know, as a voter in Georgia now, I haven't heard a whole lot about how are they different on policy. What we've really had is a race focused on this question of voter suppression. And I don't know. I'm like, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, in Camel, my parents would just like get in the car and drive up to St. Joseph the Provider and vote. You know? Like, how hard can it be? How is it that we've gotten so modern and so complicated that, you know, something that seemed to be a pretty simple task 50 years ago now is, just full of all these questions about are the votes being counted properly? Should there be a paper trail? Is everyone's vote counting equally? It's really amazing what a complex mess it has become, the simple act of voting.
What are the numbers looking like so far in Georgia? What did the polls been closed by an hour or so now?
Well, the polls are supposed to have been closed, but there was there were so many problems around the campus of Morehouse and Spelman. Those are two historically African American colleges in Atlanta, and there were so many problems with people being able to vote that they got I'm not sure if it was the ACLU or the NAACP filed for a court injunction, and a court ordered that the polls have to stay open for an extra 3 hours in those precincts. So it's a very close race, and because some of these Atlanta precincts have to stay open an extra 3 hours, it might end up being a very long night. Now, you know, maybe a whole bunch of other counties will come in, and the gap will be so large that that one or the other will open up with the lead. But right now, it looks like it's going to be too close of a race for it to be decided until all of the polls are actually closed.
So one of the many storylines tonight is this is a national referendum on Trump. What was it like from your office to have just a statewide race?
I still have been working part-time. I work at WABE, the NPR member station here in Atlanta. And I would say that the issue of Trump has been very dominant in the news in Atlanta, in Georgia in general. Certainly, it's just a very divided population. A lot of people in Atlanta are very... You know, it's a high level of education, and, you know, there's lots of universities here, Emory, Georgia Tech, University of Georgia, Morehouse, Spelman, all these colleges where there are a lot of people who are very dismayed with Trump. But then there are also a lot of other parts of Georgia where people are very happy about him. So it's he definitely casts a big shadow over everything.
The governor's race has all of a sudden become a national spectacle. Was Georgia ready for that?
I'm sorry, which would have become a spectacle?
The Georgia governor's race has now been elevated to a national stage.
I mean, it's shocking to me in a way. It was surprising how much interest there has been in the Georgia race. I mean, every time I turn on the national news, I'd see more about the Georgia race, and I was like, wow, really? I mean, it's interesting that it became such a big deal. But, you know, I think that this issue of voter suppression really has caught the imagination of people about why is it that it's so – something that used to be a simple task has become so complex. And I'm not sure what the reason is for that.
Hey, Marilyn, this is Bertram D'Souza, and I remember you when you were a journalist in the Valley and then went on to CNN and everywhere else. The question that I have is the efforts by Republicans, not only in Georgia, not only in the South, but, you know, all over the country, to make it more and more difficult for people to vote. Is that creating any kind of a firestorm among, you know, not only among voters, but among organizations and entities? And are we going to see any kinds of changes before the 2020 election?
Well, I don't know. You would think that there really will be some changes coming, because it seems like, I mean, at some point, isn't this just embarrassing?
Yes.
I mean, aside from, like, any foreign hacking issues, just the simple act of that you get to the – one of the reasons they weren't voting in some of the precincts in Georgia was they ran out of ballots. They didn't have, you know
– How did you run out of ballots?
That's unbelievable.
You know, like paper ballots.
Right.
It's like, what, you know, you don't have a copy machine? They said they were out of toner. So they were, like, having trouble with just the most basic things. In one place they said the line was so long because they didn't have a power cord for the voting booth.
Oh.
A power cord.
Right.
In 2018, Marilyn, unbelievable.
Well, we are so glad to hear from you. Thanks for visiting us tonight.
It's always great to talk with folks from Youngstown. I was happy to be back from my class reunion. It was really wonderful to see Youngstown again and see a lot of my old friends. And I'm happy to be living here in Georgia, but it just seems like there's news everywhere. You can't escape it. So,
well, it's always fun to see when the camel stories pop up. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Marilyn.
All right, guys. Oh, bye.
So we're finishing up with.
Are we taking a break right now?
No.
So, Bertram and I
Kyle,
are.
Who's next in line?
We're
Kyle?
Doing musical chairs.
We look
yes,
like
we
we're
going
to shift with.
Okay.
With WFMJ. All right. We are going to be joined next by Michelle Nix. WFMJ is going to join us in a minute or two. once Bertram and Louis get done shuffling their chairs.
Yes.
Musical chairs, yep. With Bertram D'Souza.
I haven't been on my phone.
If we've not been bumpy enough, just hang with us.
Well, I had to be near my phone because my bookie is going to be calling to tell me, you know, who I should bet on as far as the slime. It's raw. It's great.
We are. Go get your headsets on, yep. Guys.
We're ready.
We are dialing in with Michelle.
Hello.
Michelle, how are you?
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, it's Todd Franco, Louis, and Bertram from the studio of Vindy.com. How are you doing down in Columbus?
Good.
So, Michelle, I appreciate you coming on, but this was a demand I made in return for me appearing on your noon lunch show. I told Sheila, since you're not paying me, I needed to have you on with us tonight. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, give us a flavor of what's going on there. What you're hearing? Who you're talking to? And by the way, you're in Columbus, and you're with the DeWine campaign, right?
Yes, this is actually the Ohio Republican Party's election festivities,
right.
Here at the Sheraton downtown. And we're in the governor's ballroom, and there's a lot of people here. There's also a lot of people in the hallway. We're told there's also some people in another room downstairs that are with DeWine and his family, and also with John Husted and his family, watching the returns come in. Right now, I've been trying to get an interview with Rob Portman.
Mm-hmm.
So if he comes my way, I might have to put you off for a little bit.
Sure,
but,
no problem.
A lot of people are pretty excited because DeWine is a little bit ahead right now. But, you know, the race is very tight. And so people are just hanging on, just hoping that he will pull through. They're also hoping that issue one will go down.
Right.
And they're very optimistic, but they're just watching the TV very intently. They have two huge screen monitors right now. DeWine came out for a little bit earlier, and he went on the stage to check out the setup a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then he went up to the podium just to check that out. He was with his wife, Fran, and a little boy. I'm not sure if it was a nephew or a grandson, and a number of members of his staff. I talked to his wife, Fran, for a little bit, and she was wanting them to change the setup a little bit. Mr. DeWine came over and shook my hand, and he's normally very talkative. He did not say anything, and that might have been because he gave media opportunities earlier, and there were other media people here, and he didn't want to get that started again.
Sure.
But they went to a side door and left. But, you know, there's a lot of excitement. At first, everybody was very quiet because it appeared Cordray was ahead for a while. So everybody's getting a little pumped up again now.
Given that this is the Republican Party's headquarters, are the other candidates there as well, or just who do you see? Anybody else?
Well, there's supposed to be other candidates here for the other races.
Right.
Like Yost is supposed to be here. I believe LaRose. But I have not seen any of them tonight, so I don't know if they're also downstairs until the results are final. The Republican Party chairwoman came up for a few minutes and said, you know, things are beginning to get exciting as the results come in.
Right.
And for everybody to, you know, stand by, and everybody would come out and speak in a little bit.
You know, Michelle, everybody kept saying this is going to be a very long, long election, long night. Is that what they're still saying?
They're still saying that. But, you know, I mean, right away they announced Bill Johnson was a winner.
Right.
They've been announcing, you know, finals pretty frequently on other races very quickly. So, you know, I don't know. It might come sooner than we think.
Sure.
It seems to be going a little bit faster than I would have thought. I think we might know a little sooner than what we originally thought. I think they were thinking around midnight
right.
we would know,
yeah.
but I think we'll know maybe a little sooner.
Okay, great. Hey, Michelle, we appreciate you calling in.
Thanks
you
Michelle.
For your time. And if there's All any
right.
more excitement that you can share with us, give us a call back.
It was a pleasure, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. And you've been watching. We got about got just about another hour left on the Vindy.com election 2018. And we are going to take a break for a couple minutes. Enjoy some Valley music, Kyle. So some Valley music will play for about 5 minutes. We're going to catch our breath, reload, and results are starting to come in. Please go to Vindy.com. Check out updated headlines, updated numbers, and we'll see you in a little bit.
I've been looking for some love to guide me. I've been looking for some love, and now I'm gonna let it look.
Okay, so it's not going to be live, right? Well, you said filming. I thought you meant a video. I get you. Live. Greg's going to be live. What do you do when you're on your own? How do you know when you're not? Cause after all, this time has passed. You'd think you'd be alright. But everything you tell yourself is feeling like a lie. So you take all these doubts and you throw them out. You're not sure who you are. Sure of who you're not now. Love is gonna find you. Love is gonna find you running. Love is gonna find you. Love is gonna find you there. Miss Amanda, how are you? Miss Amanda, how are you? Are you with us?
Hi, how are you?
Glad to have you. So you're back, Vindy Live, Election 2018. Thanks for joining us, folks. It's been 2 hours so far on Vindy.com. I'm joined here in the Vindy studio by Bertrand D'Souza and Louis B. Free.
Hi, Amanda.
It's been 2 hours of fun.
Hello.
How are you? Where are you calling us from?
We are calling from the Board of Elections. I am with Greg Graziosi.
Good. Glad to have you. And is this going to be an audio call or a video call?
I have video up. Do you have video up?
I'm getting the nod that we're going to have you on video. Hey, there you are. There's Greg. Greg, wave to us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah. So go ahead and take it, pal. You are live. Tell us what's going on.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So just a few minutes ago, we got reporting in for Mahoning County with 122 precincts reporting in. With 120, 122. Sorry about that. Okay, so for the District 58, which is between Democratic incumbent Michelle Lepore-Hagan and David Simon, Lepore-Hagan is leading in that with 21,101 votes. Simon's got 8,265. In the race for District 33, that's for the state Senate seat between Michael Rooley and John Bocheri. Right now, Michael Rooley is leading overall. That district split between two counties, both between Mahoning and Columbiana County. So in Mahoning, John Bocheri is actually leading with 34,697 votes to Rooley's 24,670. But in Columbiana County, Rooley is leading Bocheri. They've got 83 precincts out of their 87 reporting it. So that's almost completely cleared out in Columbiana County. But Rooley's got 22,030 votes, while Bocheri in Columbiana only has 10,600. In the race for District 59, which is between Eric Ungaro and Don Manning, Ungaro is leading. It's a very close race right now, but Ungaro is currently leading with 15,147 votes. Manning has 13,819. Tonight, I'm also covering two judge races in the 7th District Court of Appeals between Kathleen Bartlett and David Dapolito. Dapolito is leading right now with 34,445 votes to Bartlett's 19,182. And in the race for Mahoning County Court Judge, where there's quite a few people, Molly Johnson actually just pulled ahead. For a while, Kathy McNabb Welsh had been leading, but Molly Johnson just pulled ahead. Right now, she has 7,269 votes. McNabb Welsh has 7,031. Sam Marone is third up with 4,880. After that's J.P. Morgan with 4,370. Then Matt Gambrill with 3,725. And A. Ross Douglas has 3,224. So that's our results right now from the races that I'm following.
What kind of conversations going on out there? What are the surprises? Clearly, the Bocheri numbers have to be kind of unique.
One of the more surprising things was it looks like Bocheri lost Poland, which I think was somewhat of a surprise. Demographically, I don't think it's all that shocking, but it is Bocheri's district in his hometown. So that was probably the most surprising. Otherwise, as far as people talking around here, there's nothing that's completely kind of blown anybody out of the water. It's mostly what people had been kind of anticipating leading up to the election.
Hey, Greg, there's about 90 precincts that's still to be counted in Mahoning County, right?
Correct.
Okay, and the set of the difference between the Rooley and Buttigieg vote is about what? Because I didn't see
that. Let's think about 20,000 votes out of Columbiana.
Yeah, he's got Rooley from, I have to look, Rooley is out by, I want to say, like more than 2,000 votes.
More than 2,000.
Like, I'm seeing in Columbiana a 13,000 vote difference in Columbiana.
No, but overall, Rooley's ahead by about 2,000 votes?
Yeah, it might be more now because there may have been an update in Columbiana County. I haven't looked.
Okay, and then there are 90 precincts out in Mahoning County. So
correct. Yeah.
Do we know what precincts are still out?
From what I've been told, most of the precincts that have already come in are city precincts. So I still think there are some. There's quite a few township and a few more rural precincts. So there may be a lot that end up going to Rooley if that kind of more rural vote does tend to go more conservative. But I'm not sure.
The polling number is kind of crazy to hear for John's home village.
Yeah, but absolutely. I mean, that was kind of surprising, and that was the one thing that I think shocked a lot of people down here.
All right. And what about the issue one react? Anybody reacting to the issue one numbers, or pretty much what everyone expected?
So far, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I haven't been following issue one, so I've been chasing my own races.
Sure.
But as far as down here, nobody's been surprised by anything. Like I said, we're down here mostly with a lot of, like, election veterans, so most of these people kind of had a pretty good idea of what was going
to
be coming.
Has Dave Beatrice come out and talked to you guys at all?
No, Beatrice was here at the very beginning, but we haven't seen him since.
Because I was going to ask, what's the reaction as far as the governor's race goes? Is there any chatter at the Board of Elections about that?
The only thing that we've heard from a few people down at the Board of Elections is that essentially a few people seem to think that the Democrats running issue one is going to have it would be a major contributor to Cordray losing.
All right.
Whether that's true or not, you know, that's just a couple of the opinions that we've been hearing. But that's what people have been saying is why DeWine can pull ahead and beat Cordray is because people are turning against issue one and thus turning against Democrats.
Hey, thank you very much for a great job out there. Texas, if you want to get back on, we're glad to have you.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Right, take care.
Thanks, Greg.
Wow.
Yeah, Mark Sweetwood, our managing editor, had was complaining that Mahoning County was the slowest in reporting and that Columbiana County had almost... reported all of its precincts. Columbiana County had 83 of 87, and then Trumbull County had 121 of 158. And at the time, and Mahoning now has 116 of 212. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But he also said that statewide, Republicans are taking all of the statewide offices, it appears.
Yes, we are. We are statewide. We are 70% in, and it's sizable for DeWine.
It is.
Yes, DeWine is 52-44.
Oh,
okay. With 70% in.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
I think that shows it's a sizable amount now. So I think you'll be fine. You'll hear that maybe the AP will call that in the not too distant future.
Bertrand, I just need. Did I understand you correctly? Did you say that managing editor, the Vindicator, Mark Sweetwood, was complaining?
Yes. He's the most pleasant person otherwise.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
You know, yeah,
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah.
Todd, aren't you?
I
was shocked by that. Thank you, Bertram. Thank you.
It is unique that the most unique race of the night is Rooley Buttigieg. I mean, we've been watching it all year.
It is. It is. And it appears
the Columbiana number.
It would be interesting to see.
Let me pull that up. Columbiana, 23,000 for Rooley, 10,000 for Buttigieg.
Absolutely. That was, and Rooley's from there, right? So.
Yeah. Total of 33,000 voters.
So the thing that I think is the fact that maybe Rooley is benefiting from the Donald Trump effect in the suburban areas of Mahoning County.
Yeah.
So Columbiana County is done.
It's 95%. Is that essentially done to you? 83 of 87.
Trumbull is 139 of 158.
And these numbers
here. Those reporting numbers are a little slower than what's actually by the time they post. So
I'm here was behind.
Yeah.
Greg's numbers were more updated than what's on the website.
Yes. So, yeah, what is what's on our screen and what the websites that the county...
would you have expected Bocchieri to pull more than 58% in Mahoney? Is that,
that was the
Trump thing you're talking about?
Yeah, I believe that you know the Trump effect could be a factor in this race. In addition to which, you know, Rulli's name is a well-known name. I mean, that's, you know, you were running against a named person. I don't, you know, as I said, we being the Vindicator, did not make an endorsement in that race for several reasons, one of which being we have had, the papers had a very long relationship with the Rulli business, and it was going to be difficult for us. You know, to either, you know, set up...
We're in a no-win situation.
Was that? Yes,
we
were.
We're in a no-win situation. With how
and I think they understood, because I contacted each of them, and I explained the situation, and they said they understood. It's going to be interesting. Now, you know, Rulli has campaigned on the fact that he was going to go to Columbus as a Republican, representing the state Senate, and that would... Could do well for this area. That will be seen.
What of this race, and staying with it, what of the results do you think is also part? I think I don't think the county's too disappointed with Ralph Meacham.
Oh gosh, no. Oh, they didn't run anybody.
And I think there's been yearning for a more Republican, a change in leadership within the county, and this was a good opportunity, somewhat measure.
Meaning.
People in Mahoney County interested in change. Obviously, Meacham's done a great job in his position. When you see a trusted name like Rulli jump in.
Now, because look at Remedio. Look at Carroll's vote. I mean, look at those votes. Look at
but
Tim Ryan's vote.
But not necessarily against a
I think the district has to be considered. It's not necessarily a strong Democratic district. The 33rd state senate
south of 224.
So you've got south, you know, south of 224. South County has always been heavily has always been a Republican area. Columbiana County is heavily Republican. So yeah, in the past you had
who's
candidates.
Who's the last candidates?
Coming here. What who was the last state senator? Is Schiavone.
Yeah.
You know, and Joe had a good name.
Great
again.
Name. Yeah.
But the Rulli I think name and factor was one, and then also, you know, Bocchieri, you know, he was in Congress, he was here, he was there, and people sort of, you know, they're tired of that.
Hanging out at the Republican headquarters tonight was our own Justin Dennis, and Justin has a video that we're going to cut to now.
Great.
All right. Let's take a listen to what Justin offers.
This is Justin Dennis reporting from the Mahoning County Republican Party headquarters in Boardman. The crowd has remained fairly steady throughout election night tonight, but some people have begun leaving. There was lots of hoops and hollers when the failure of Issue 1 was announced. That is, of course, the issue that lessens penalties for certain drug offenders and diverts more money toward treatment options. A couple of people that I spoke to said they were glad to see it fail, number one, because they did not like how local governments would have to pick up some of the costs for that issue. And the second reason being that they didn't want to see penalties lessened for drug offenders, even though treatment was obviously a better option for them. None of those people wanted to go on camera and talk about it, though. Going to be heading to the Board of Elections now and may have another report for you later tonight.
Hoytsville fire levy. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar's wins her third term. Manchin's back in West Virginia and Republican McKinley. Wow, so Dem and a Republican giving it. He was kind of, after the whole Kavanaugh
Manchin.
Touch, he was in the crosshairs. Bill Johnson's clobbering his Dem opponent in his district. Yeah. The Dems flipped the House seats in Florida, Virginia. GOP takes Kentucky. Statewide Dem candidates still lead in Mahoney County. Democratic statewide candidates still lead in Mahoney. Lepore Hagen leads the 58th. Democratic Tom Wolf earns the governor's seat, retains the government.
Okay,
the
yes. Yeah.
Boardman school levy is barely winning. Poland school levy has support. Potential 2020 contender Warren Kane Sanders, all reelected. Anti-fracking failing for the eighth time. Democratic Christy Gillibrand retains her U.S. Senate seat. That's in New York. She had a pretty good combat. West Branch income tax going down. Blue Dorn leads Kuvor in the judge race. We got to check in on our judge race here. Mississippi, Wyoming GOP doing strong. McNabb Welsh leading from Mahoney County Court. And that's kind of where we're at. What do you think?
Well, as Michelle said, you know, she had pointed out that, she didn't think it was going to be till midnight because everybody was presuming that this election was going to be really a late election. I think, as our headline shows, the Republicans did sweep sweep the statewide offices in Ohio, which, raises once again a question that, about the leadership of the Democratic Party. Does this mean, for example, that Ohio is now a red state? It used to be purple. For a long time, it was a purple state. But with this election and with Mike DeWine embracing Donald Trump, the ramifications for 2020 cannot be ignored. Because when Mike DeWine came in for the editorial board, I asked him about his relationship with Donald Trump. And I've known Mike, and Mike has talked about being a wonderful family man, all of those things. And I said, how do you, sort of deal with a Donald Trump who has no respect for women, who makes all kinds of statements, that derogatory statements about minorities, Muslims, immigrants, LGBTQT, all kinds of people? And he just said, well, I don't agree with everything he tweets or texts, but I agree with him on the Supreme Court. Mike DeWine is so pro-life, is so anti-choice, I should say, not pro-life, anti-choice, because they're taking away the woman's right to choose, that he thinks all of the other sins of Donald Trump are acceptable.
Because
of that one issue. And he sort of touted Kavanaugh now, and of course Donald Trump will have other appointments to the Supreme Court. The Senate is going to remain in Republican hands, and therefore we're going to have we're going to have some more conservative justices, Supreme Court justices. I see that Joe Schiavone's out in the
new
the
work. We're sliding. Right here. You're sliding my way, right?
No, I'm going to slide him in next to you.
Okay.
Right, yeah, let's bring Joe.
That'd be great.
Joe in. Just push a chair in there, Bertram.
Can I?
Kyle, can you get a handheld mic for us, back? Mr. Schiavone,
you
got to turn
sit,
around
you
there.
You got to sit next to Louis.
Joe,
twice in one day.
What if you got a microphone?
Oh yeah.
Good. Thank you for coming.
Is it on?
Sir, thanks for joining us.
Did they call the?
The microphone is on, but that's okay. You can keep talking. Yeah, I guess we are. I think the AP.
Slide over your right, guys.
I think the AP has called
all of the
statewide races.
Kyle,
they did.
Yeah, for Republicans.
They did. Good.
Yeah.
Well, see the. Is this on?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are
we
live.
Are we on live right now?
Yeah.
I mean. So
welcome to Vindy.com.
Yeah, thank
good
you.
To see you.
Yeah, thank
again
you.
Today.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I had heard that Cuyahoga County may not have been reported, and that's why they were holding out hope for Democrats statewide. But if that's true, and Cuyahoga County has reported, And yeah, they're in trouble.
Yeah, well, Todd's looking at the board.
So we're 52-44 with 76% in.
So 76%, would that include Cuyahoga County,
yeah,
you think?
I can't really see it.
It could be parts.
But
I mean, it could be parts.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not good, and that's a lot of ground to make up. And
right.
Would seem to be very difficult no matter where the votes are.
Right. And then that's, you know, again, as we were discussing, once again, Republicans have retained all of the statewide offices and will retain the General Assembly.
Did they get the Supreme Court as well?
They got... DeGennaro was winning statewide, is that right, Tom?
I'm fumbling through
I saw earlier, and I saw Donnelly was doing very well. I didn't see what Stewart and Mary were doing.
So,
well,
Mary is down 47-52.
So that means...
And Donnelly is up 60-39.
So both Democrats are winning at
the Supreme Court.
Is that? That's odd.
That really is.
How about that?
Especially that rate. I mean, you would think that voters would.
Don't know. They just vote for which name. That's why I knew Melody Stewart is a very nice name, and Donnelly is a very common name that people like.
Right.
It sounds very responsible and judicial.
Yes.
And I knew
they
both had a very good opportunity.
Sure.
I mean, you know. DeGennaro is not a name that a lot of people know in the state.
So tell me about the 33rd district race.
Yeah.
What happened then?
I mean, it was so close when I left WFMJ. Have they called that race?
Looks like... What was the last thing we heard?
This is for...
The 33rd, but Cherry and...
This is when he's going to have the votes at Mahoning to...
To overcome that hole that he had in Columbiana.
Yeah, well, 10,000 gap in Columbia. Although it's tight, though. There's a 10,000 vote with 116 of 212 here in Mahoning. There's 10,000 vote difference. And it's
there are 90 precincts out in Mahoning, at least from our board. Now, of course, the board of elections might have a different number.
Look, think about the district. I mean, it's 330,000 people. 230,000 people live in Mahoning and 100 live in Columbiana. Everybody knew Boccheri was going to get killed in Columbiana.
Right.
It's super conservative. Any Democrat
would. But why would Boccheri lose in... Did he lose in Poland?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't see Mahoning.
Greg is saying he's down. He's down. So it's about a 3,000 vote gap.
There's about 3,000?
Just roughly looking at it.
Very
so,
close.
From your experience with Mahoning, with Columbiana all in, with Mahoning still some precincts to count, what is your sense? Do you think there's enough to make up?
You know, everybody knew this was going to be close, and people would ask me, and I would say it's going to be very, very close. The people of the Mahoning Valley are not party voters anymore. They're issue voters, they're people voters. They want to look for the individual, and they're voting. Some are voting for change. Some are voting just for that individual person. But it's not the standard Democrat and Republican community anymore. And so, you know, I thought that Boccheri would narrowly win tonight, but it looks as if he may narrowly lose. But again, they're not all in yet. And think about this seat.
When you won, where was your...
Think about this. Nobody even ran against me in 2014. They didn't even have a candidate in the race in 14. To go from that to this, it's pretty shocking.
And
I'm not saying it was because of me. I'm saying the Republican Party didn't field a candidate, not even a placeholder in 14.
I'm wondering if the Trump factor plays in the south part of Mahoning County.
Sure.
Where it does.
The outskirts of Mahoning
County,
absolutely.
Right.
But I still think that people, it's not that they're all Trump and they're all Republican. They're just people that are looking at the individual races. And for, you know, Ruley Brothers, that's a strong name around here.
Yes.
Every older person from the Mahoning Valley
yes.
goes shopping at Ruley Brothers. When I go to Ruley Brothers, I'm there for 2 hours. Because it's like everybody knows
family
you
reunion.
There.
Everybody knows it is.
Yeah. I mean,
so do they announce
there,
you
right?
when you walk into Ruley Brothers? Do they announce you're in the house?
No, but
they,
do it for him.
For Louis?
They
absolutely.
They tell, if you want produce, get it now, Louis here.
But I feel for John if he didn't win this seat. I mean, he worked incredibly hard. You know, he's a military guy. He's been in Congress. But whatever. If Ruley wins, that's what people want. I will
One of the least political guys here at the table, looking at John's campaign, his commercial saying that he sided with Trump on trade issues. Is that a unique ploy?
I think he knew that there was the district he was playing
right,
to.
Sure, sure.
I mean, yeah, I thought that was...
Stood out.
It did.
But
it
see,
this,
is,
yeah.
this is the dichotomy in politics with Trump being a factor, not only in presidential years, but in some midterm elections. He never served.
Right.
Okay. But he's law and order, and he's military, and he's strong for defense. I don't believe Rooley served. John serves, actually went to Iraq, and yet the voters say, that's okay, you know, we are Trump supporters, we voted for Trump, and we're going to vote for Rooley against a guy who actually is still in the service.
Well, Bertram, you got to also just follow the money, follow the money in this race.
Right.
I mean, all of the ads that came in were from the RSCC. They came from Columbus. It's not like Rooley raised the money around here from local Republican
right,
Party.
Right, right.
They sensed blood was in the water, just like they did with Lou Gentile in 2014 or 2016. They crushed him down there with $500,000 worth of ads. They bought at least $250,000 worth of ads up here in the last 3 weeks. They knew that it was going to be close, and they pounded the airwaves.
In talking to Congressman Ryan, who obviously you know is did very well, not surprisingly, he talks about the future of the Democratic caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives, regardless of what happens. He talks about Nancy Pelosi and what a drag she is on the party, on candidates, and all of that. In Ohio, if it's true that the speculation is not true, then it looks like it, that Republicans sweep all of the statewide administrative offices, retain control of the House and the Senate. Is it therefore time for the Democratic Party in Ohio to have an examination of conscience as to its leadership? Because you had Harry Michel take Rob Birch and go down in flames. You had Redfern take
Fitzgerald
go down in flames. You had in 2016, you had David Pepper take, go down in flames in the presidential, and now you have David Pepper take the party down in flames in statewide election. What needs to be done to the Ohio Democratic Party?
Look, we need candidates that can reach everyday Ohioans and put this party stuff aside, because Democrats in Ohio, they are, the people that were traditionally Democrats that are kind of bleeding off, right? I hate to say Trump crossovers, but it's like all they want is somebody good. All they want is somebody real. All they want is somebody to bring it to them. And if you're not bringing it to them, then they're not voting for you. They think if they're watching Fox News, they think that all Democrats care about is the social issues.
Right.
And they think that you're, this leftist, and that you are this person that doesn't understand them and doesn't get them. And until we get a Democrat that's going to drive home that message, we're going to have the same bullshit happening all the time. And it's very, very frustrating.
Yeah, but in fairness, that's what the Democrats talk about, nationally. They don't. I agree with you. And Tim Ryan, Congressman Ryan, was talking about that. There's no. What's the message?
It's got to be. We need new messengers.
Yeah.
And we need people that are going to bring it to the people. And you got to talk about working together first. It's not always about kneecapping people. It's not always about attacking people. People want to see things get done.
Okay. But the reality, as Donald Trump showed, is that the Republican Party today is the party of the white person. That's it. The Democratic
mostly
white males, but white people. Look at the rallies. Look at the people who go to the rallies. Look at the people who vote for him. Look at the people who talk for him. They have a couple of token non-whites in the crowds. But they're white people who have gone to a party and to a president who says, I'm going to return this country back to the days you remember them.
Sure.
Who's you? It's not me. It's not the black person in the inner city of Youngstown. And that message has resonated. What does the Democratic Party do to take to sort of neutralize that message.
I think what you have to do to challenge that is you need somebody that can reach younger voters in a real way. Nobody's ever been able to do this because there's not a lot of younger candidates that can speak to young people and have that young person then say, that's somebody that I want to be with. Because they're like, politicians suck. I don't like politics. But if you get somebody that can actually mobilize young people in a real, meaningful way to counteract what you're talking about, that's the only way. I mean, it's difficult it's difficult to get a lot of the minority groups to come out in big numbers when you're not from that particular community and you're not.
Yeah, that's as Barack Obama showed.
Barack can do it, but if you're not Barack, you can't do it.
His coalition that he put together disappeared after that election.
Did. It's very difficult. Right. It's very, very difficult. So I think it has to be the young vote to counteract it, but you can't. If they don't show up, the Democrats aren't speaking to them, and politicians aren't speaking to them, and they're not believing what they're hearing, but they're there to vote. I mean, you just got to get them to cross the finish line and mobilize them and talk to them about student debt and talk to them about jobs and talk to them about first-time homebuyer programs and talk to them about things that they care about.
Because we go too far back. You know, it was interesting when I read an article, I talked a lot about this, where that incoming college freshmen don't remember 9/11/2001. They may have been taught it, but they weren't. They were either not born or infants.
And that's crazy.
So when you're still when you're talking old talk, I agree with you, Senator, 100%. When you're talking old, how are you going to reach? How do you reach the youth?
I don't have the solution for it, but I know that we were making a lot of progress on it. And it takes a lot of work. I mean, I'm going to speak to the OSU College Dems on Thursday. They scheduled this with me before the election because they wanted me to come and talk about it.
It would be interesting to see how many of those college Dems actually went out and voted.
Well,
the ones that go to the meetings did.
Right.
But not.
Sure.
But how many of their roommates and their roommates' buddies and their girlfriends came? I mean, that's how you got to reach it.
A couple updates here.
What do you got?
Okay. Looks like Molly Johnson is going to take the court seat.
Okay.
And the gap here in Mahoning County for John versus Mike is just an 8,000 vote gap. So that looks like it's going to be Rulli's seat. It was a 10,000 vote gap. Now it's down to 8,000.
But there's not enough time to
There's we are 83% done. 176 out of 212 precincts.
What about Ungaro and Manning?
Ungaro and Manning.
Because if it's looking like that, it's going to be tight in that one too.
Sorry about that. Give me a second here.
Huh? I mean, I thought Ungaro would win pretty
49-50. Yeah.
Wow. See that?
Ooh, wow. That is a 400-vote difference right now. Manning leading by 400 votes.
Manning is leading?
Yeah, but now this number here is just showing 81 of 113 in. So still about 30 percent.
That would be a hell of an upset.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Eric has worked really hard. And Eric's a good guy.
Yeah.
And I love Eric Ungaro.
Yeah, so you wanted to see those numbers right away as soon as you heard Rulli's numbers here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a third of the district.
Yeah, so Rulli,
and that's Boardman, that's Canfield,
that's
Poland.
Manny Ungaro.
Right.
Yeah. And again, Ralph Meacham went by a landslide.
Yeah. Were you nervous about that one?
So
how about Judge Johnson?
You know
ready to say that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know her.
1,500 votes ahead of Kathy McNabb Welsh.
I don't know her, but anybody that works hard out there, you want to give them the benefit of the doubt. She worked her butt off out there.
20 districts left.
I mean, I know Kathy. I think Kathy put all those candidates put in a lot of work. I mean, Matt Gambrell worked his ass off. I saw him at everything. You know, it's these guys. Everybody puts in work, and it's hard to lose. But you just see who wins, and you go with best thing you can do. Like, I'm going to go down there and help Rulli. I mean, what are you going to do?
You want the best for the area,
absolutely,
of course.
And
you've always been that way.
And in Texas, it is Cruz over Beto.
I figured so. Yeah. I will, to go back to your point, Bertram, though, about, is this about Trump? I mean, the Manning-Ungaro race.
Yeah.
I heard Manning's ad on 570 today.
Right.
It was straight Trump.
Yes.
It said, I'm with Donald Trump.
Told us at the editorial board.
So you got to look at the votes, but, you know, that's telling about the
resonating. Yeah.
And I think what has happened, too, is if you look at the vote in Mahoning County in the governor's, read that out. And,
close.
And
give me a second.
No, no, just let's the
Cordray 55 to DeWine 42.
And Cordray needed at least 60% in Mahoning County to have a chance statewide.
50, what was it?
55-42.
This is
this what you were thinking.
That's what I suggested in my column, and this is a David Beatrice loss. Absolutely, absolutely. He sure. couldn't. He couldn't. He couldn't deliver the bullets.
What about Trumbull?
Yeah. What about Trumbull? We haven't. Let's see.
Give me a couple minutes, sir.
I bet it's very similar to.
And remember, Trumbull, Politico lost in the 2016 election to Donald
158
Trump.
158 in. Let's. They are complete. It is 51 for Cordray, 45
that,
for DeWine.
Again, that's what I'm writing for tomorrow. I said that if Cordray does not get 60% in Mahoning or Trumbull counties, at least 60, they lose statewide.
Wow.
It has always been like that in Mahoning and Trumbull.
Attorney General went Democrat.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. In Trumbull.
Oh, I was going to say.
Who did?
In Trumbull.
In Trumbull.
It was
but did
back
they call
years.
All of the statewide?
Yes. We had the headline, right? Right,
I
mean, Todd?
I do not know, pal.
Yes, we did.
Okay. It's all a blur to me. Okay. You're so much.
You read the headline to us.
So you're
that,
saying
that, that.
It was like 70 headlines I was reading.
Todd.
This is my first night.
It was one of the 70.
This is my first night as
Todd.
Well. Let's do Joe.
Okay.
I think we're doing okay.
Todd, it's
Wolf.
Okay, Todd.
I'm a little shocked, though. I mean, I'm a...
Oh, God, yeah. I am. I'm not... I'm
oh,
more
that
than
was Republican sweet state races in Columbiana County.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, I'm more than shocked because I really thought that with all that Donald Trump has done to this country, that voters would be more intelligent in the way they analyze what was going on. For example, when Mike DeWine refused to go along with his own governor on the expansion of Medicaid, that now covers 700,000 more Ohioans than it did before, you would have thought that that would have been an issue. You would have thought the parents would have said to their kids, we need to preserve this.
Yeah.
You get to be on my insurance till until you're 26. Those are the kinds of issues. You know, but if Obamacare is reversed, pre-existing conditions, you don't get covered.
But
insurance companies are not going to cover people who have cancer. That's the damn reality of this country. And yet, what happens? It makes no difference.
And
it's
was getting the message out.
It's because of Donald Trump. And I've suggested this. If Donald Trump ran as a candidate for the new GOP, the new grand old perverts party, he would still win. Because there's something about him. He's not ideological. Some longtime Democrat who voted for Trump said to me, you know, he's a nationalist. And I said, like hell he is. His business interests are all over the world, especially in communist
countries.
He's already making a deal with North Korea to build a resort on the ocean front. I mean, come on.
It's very, very tough to handle for me too, because you know I've seen these candidates and I've worked with them. I mean, the Democrats had really good candidates
yes.
this year. All across the
yes.
statewide ticket. All the local but hey.
But if it's not resonating.
Cordray
not
sure.
No,
Cordray
was good. Exactly. I mean, Cordray yeah. at first, when in our primaries, in our debates, it was a little rough. You know, I knew the issues better just because he wasn't around.
The state issue one
but
hurt
he got
him.
Better. He got better. The state issue one hurt him.
Yes.
A lot.
A lot, yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I think so.
His
agree.
Embrace of that state issue one.
He was sticking his chin out there and
right.
nobody
right.
and nobody else was. So he was taking all the shots.
Yeah. Of course. And
lost 65-35.
Taking all the shots.
Issue one.
Yeah. And DeWine made a good point. Said, hey, well, your own Democrats are not supporting state issue
one. But DeWine also did lie and say that was his issue. It was a signature campaign that he said that he was for, but in the commercials it said that it was his issue.
It doesn't matter. What the Republicans did really well was their commercials, whether lying or not, struck a chord immediately. And they were very effective commercials. That's what they did. And whoever did their campaign, statewide campaign, and whoever the advisors were, you know, this played the Democrats. Yeah. I mean, it made the Democrats look really, really,
and
you know.
Didn't respond.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, didn't respond.
It is what it is.
But I think that this election proves that Ohio has now turned red.
So and again, Ohio,
and
when the presidential
that resonates
importance
in 2020.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Incredibly, correct?
Yeah.
Because
of
the
Ohio is four or five states
heard
that called the election in 2020.
Joe, what do the Democrats start doing tomorrow? What do you start doing first? How about you?
I mean, at this point, you know, it's not about me. I got to help. I got to help people lick their wounds a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I'm getting a lot of calls and texts right now about that.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? It should have been you doing this. And I'm like, we're not going to do this right now. Like, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to help. I'm going to call Michael Rooley when I walk out of here, and I'm going to say, hey, look, let's talk about what you want from me moving forward in the next couple months. I do.
Yeah.
He helped. I mean, look, I've met with him. We don't.
Is he a Democrat?
No. We don't agree on a lot of stuff, but he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. He's a nice human being. It could be
look
a lot
Bertram.
Worse. But we don't agree on a lot. We don't agree on a lot. And I think people will find him to be a little out, a little bit crazy.
Louis likes
him
because
he's
like him.
He's a free spirit.
He's very loose.
Yeah,
he's very loose.
Louis likes
him
because he plays
a
punk band.
Yeah, he's very loose. I mean, he's very like, he's not going to be what people are going to expect.
And probably not a normal Republican. Not a straightforward Republican.
He's going to go down there, and he's going to be in the majority with all these guys. Now they're going to have 25 out of 33. And so they're going to put him in line.
He is going to be an ideological
they're
gonna
put him
right-wing
in
Republican
they're
gonna
put
in,
him in
the
line.
Ohio Senate.
That's what I'm concerned about. He's a nice enough guy, and I'll work with him, and I want to help him, and we can work together on stuff if he wants. But he is going to be one of the
when
the
you
boys
say,
down there.
Yeah, when you say you'll put him in line, explain that a little bit better.
Frank Hoagland won the district in 16 in Steubenville. He took a Democrat from Lou Gentile, took his seat. They spent like $500,000. He's a Navy SEAL. He went down there. He said, we're going to shake this up. He's in line with all. He just votes in check with the guys that are in leadership. And like, I'm not saying Rooley's going to do that with 100% certainty. I'm just saying that it's difficult when you go down there and you have all this power down there. They're going to want to reward him in the valley with stuff, which is good, but they're going to make him vote the way that they want him to vote.
Here's going to be the first test, legislatively. When the Republicans push the heartbeat legislation, and you're going to have Rooley voting for it,
sure,
and you're going to have Mike DeWine signing it.
Of course.
That is going to show where Ohio stands. And if I'm a woman living in Ohio, let me tell you something. Unless I'm subservient to my husband, I'm going to worry about what's going on in this state.
Wait for Right to Work to come,
exactly,
too.
Exactly. Right to Work will be another issue.
That'll be the next one. Rooley will vote for that,
Of course he will. He can't say no. If he wants a committee assignment, if he wants, you know, not to be hidden in a basement the way it goes.
So I'm too idealistic. When you say he can't say no, saying
it's
that
politics.
It's a trade-off.
It's party politics.
It's going to be difficult.
It's going to be hard.
The party supported him statewide. The statewide people put up money for his campaign. Yes.
So it looks like we're going to go to bed tonight with a 400 vote difference for Ungaro versus Manning.
Manning won
by 400 votes, 113 of 113 in. Michelle Lepore Hagan's fine.
That's the one that is really.
John won the county by 7,000 votes, not enough to overtake the Columbia
final
votes.
Percent.
For which one?
53 to 46.
Yeah.
Wow.
So tomorrow, it looks like national, the CNN saying the House has gone Democrat.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Florida and
Georgia moving
governors?
Moving close to control of the House, let me say it that way, whereas they're calling Senate as staying Republican.
Well, I'm glad there's some balance, at least.
I do, too. Nationally, there has to be some balance.
That's the silver lining of tonight, I guess, for Democrats.
But you do know that with the Republicans retaining the U.S. Senate, Donald Trump is going to have two or at least three other appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Sure.
And that is going to move this country in a direction that people are going to wonder what happened to America. I mean, I don't want to sort of be dramatic about this, but that's exactly what Donald Trump ran on.
Yeah.
And they're going to go after Roe v. Wade. They're going to try and overturn it, even though Mike DeWine insists that Kavanaugh said he wasn't going to do it. Oh, come on. You know, that's the agenda. The agenda is a very clear agenda. They're going to close the borders. They're going to be... I'll tell you what, the immigration policy that the Trump administration will ultimately come up with, his wife wouldn't have been able to qualify to live in this country.
No, it makes you sick.
Who was born overseas, came to America on a visitor's visa as a model.
I mean, that commercial with the Mexican immigrant that killed the police, that's just bullshit.
That is.
It's just
this country is going to be so divided, and it's not, and Donald Trump doesn't care, because that's what makes him successful.
And on the governor races, looks like the Democrats have gained 2 state house.
What about Georgia or Florida?
Florida's still not clicked yet. 49-48.
Those are the two big ones.
What about Georgia?
They're still pink.
Those are big ones.
Yeah. Georgia is 55 Republican, 43 Democrat.
She's going down.
Georgia.
She was awesome.
Georgia.
Though. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She was
Georgia.
Yeah.
That big of a, I didn't think it would be that big of a
49.9 versus 48.9 in Florida with 99%.
Wow.
Well,
guys, I'm going to thank you very much.
Georgia was never going to let a black woman.
I agree with you. My dad and I had the conversation.
But I appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate the work, you know, for the past 10 years.
Good job.
Yeah, I really do.
We've had a good run.
You're good.
Yeah. And I will see what happens.
We'll keep working together.
I know you will.
No, thank you for everything.
Thank you for everything.
I appreciate you.
You'll be good.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
I'll see you again. Take care. We'll talk.
Well, Bertram,
a quick comment about 15? Senator Schiavone. Never forget, and I said this on the show this morning, I'll never forget, Harry Michelle brought him in. Senator Harry Michelle brought him in.
The
10 years ago,
Michelle.
Right?
Yeah.
That, you don't mind my telling. I've told it a million times on my show, but I'll never forget. I didn't know you. I didn't, you know. And Harry said, I'll stake my reputation on this young man. And we all know Harry's reputation. All of our reputation, that's who we are. But I never thought I would hear those words out of Senator Harry Michelle. And I'll never forget that.
Because Harry was close to your dad.
Grandfather.
Grandfather.
I had a lot to live up to, but yeah, hopefully.
Just very proud of you. You know
take
that.
Care.
You know, I was shocked by that.
All right, Mr. Franco, this is our... It's time. Are we going? Leaving?
15 minutes left.
No,
we're rolling.
Southridge Renewal Levy, West Branch Schools.
The show must
go on. Yost wins Attorney General post. You got one win, at least.
Where?
Republican Yost wins Ohio Attorney General post.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah,
Poland voters okay school levy. GOP retains Ohio Treasurer seat. Boardman school levy narrowly wins.
So we lost.
Molly Jansen has lead. Ohio voters reject state issue one.
So we lost Governor Mike DeWine, who said that he will come and
this
talk
is
to
we
us.
Going back to your to the Vindicator endorsements, the editorial
yes.
board endorsements.
Yes, Mr. Frank was making that distinction. I'm glad you do. the Vindicator endorsements.
Just trying to keep you happy, boss.
I
need you to sign my check this week.
We did not win the governor, but we did. We only endorsed in 2 statewide races, a governor and attorney general, and we're glad that we endorsed Yost, Dave Yost, because he is going to continue investigating public corruption in the Mahoning Valley, of which there still is a lot. And I believe that the whole downtown case with Samaron, Marchionda, and Bozanich is just the tip of the iceberg.
You do.
One of those three is going to start making a deal. And there are other players who are involved. There are other individuals who are involved. And we're going to see.
When you talk about these cases, how much do you think had to wait to get through this, to get through today? Was there a sense of let's hold off on any further?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, because and this is not just, the state. Even the FBI in investigations will back off during an election season just to make sure that there is no influence. But I'm disappointed that the Democrats didn't do better than they did statewide, because it worries me that conservative Republicans have taken over the party, the Republican Party, and the legislative agenda among those Republicans in Columbus is disturbing, especially for areas like ours, because a lot of the members of the General Assembly, Republicans, don't care about urban Ohio. They don't care about urban areas. They have rural. These are rural guys. A lot of guys come from rural areas, urban areas. They have no idea what goes on in Youngstown, Ohio, or Cleveland, Ohio, Cleveland, or Columbus, or you know, Cincinnati. And that's what's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough for us.
Do you like having a Republican in the state house with Rooley?
See, and I think Joe was being kind when he was saying, you know,
he's going to get pulled into the fold.
They will not let Rooley think for himself.
Yeah, just the way the party works.
That's it. Because they have an agenda. These are not people who go to Columbus because they want to, they believe in public service. They go with specific agendas. One of the big things they're going to do is they will expand charter schools. They will, you'll find all of a sudden ECOT disappears from the radar. You know, that's.
But I got to ask you, so someone goes down that's very idealistic.
Right.
And honest,
right.
And really wants to do, really wants to think,
right,
through the issues. Why? What happens?
Okay. What happens is, first of all, leadership is very, very strong there, and you go in as a freshman, so you don't have a voice, and especially when you have the kind of majority that the Republicans have in the Senate. You know, it doesn't matter what Democrats say. They'll never get anything passed. They'll never be able to hold off on anything. So here you have somebody who is part of a strong majority in the Senate. And what happens is you find that the leadership of the party, the Senate leaders, are going to say to Rooley, we put you in office because we gave you a ton of money for your race, because we knew that, you know, Bucherri was vulnerable. But here's what we want from you. We want your vote whenever we ask for it. If you want something for your district, we'll give it to you, but there's always going to be a quid pro quo. And so, for example, the heartbeat legislation. I'll tell you what, Louis, and you're closer to Rooley, and I'm sure sooner rather than later he'll come on your show. Ask him to give you what his agenda is when he goes to Columbus. Okay?
Okay.
And then in a year, take that, look at that list that he prepared and see how far he has gotten in implementing or getting his agenda approved or passed. And if that agenda does not agree with the overall view of the Republican Party, it's not going to have a chance. Because mavericks no longer exist in politics.
You can't be a maverick. I thought we have a president. He's a Republican.
Yes.
There's no mavericks. If it's these two parties playing us, the way I've always said, it's like keep away. When you're a little kid, the big guys take your and throw it over. So the Democrats have it for a while, the Republicans have it.
Yes.
And
I thought that was going to happen tonight.
And then Jim Traficant said that. He said there's no difference between the Republican and Democratic Party in Congress. They're all prostitutes. It just means which one is first is in demand for his or her wares. But he was a maverick. Remember, he in his agenda... His Buy America was his anti-China, his anti-dumping. As much as I hated the guy, and I hated
but
him
corrupt.
Because of it, but no, on agenda, he was out on his own. Even people of his own party would say to him, stop making those one-minute speeches. You're taking us down. You're making us look bad. And he said, I don't care.
Yeah.
He said, I come from a district that gives me 90% of the vote. Exactly.
But corrupt.
He was allowed to be a maverick because he came from a district that loved him.
Yeah, didn't have to worry
about
it.
The other members of Congress, Donald Trump has actually said to Republicans, don't go against me because I'll get you. I'll find somebody to run against you. I'll find somebody to make your life miserable. And Republicans are scared of him. I don't even
know. It's like the mob. I mean, it's the way you talk about it. It's like the mafia.
Exactly.
The mob.
Alabama. Yeah. There, right?
Sure.
Alabama, he went right after him.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't in his own party.
He went to Arizona. Yeah. That was during the primary. He went on a guy and basically said he should not even be on the ballot. Let's get him out of there.
All right. So you're writing tomorrow.
I'm writing tomorrow.
We're going to wrap it up our first night.
Well,
this election night together, the three of us.
We had
BLT.
Here's the beauty of it. It's our first time together.
Yes.
Coincidentally, it's our last time together. I don't think we should be put together again.
Oh, are you leaving?
No, he's going to kick me out. I think we're going to have to go to the. We're going to have to put it to a vote, quite honestly.
I was about to pay you the ultimate compliment of how.
I love you, how
wonderful this was, and what a visionary you are in media. and
I enjoyed the program.
You did fabulous. You really did. And Kyle.
You guys are
great. We can't forget Kyle. Come on.
We had about.
Without Kyle, we're not on.
Kyle even made me look like a white man. So
while the four of us are loving each other. There's about 20 people aggravated, so I'll get out. We're grateful for those folks. I can't believe you said that.
Right,
so you're going to go write a piece.
I'm going to write.
And you always think it's me saying the weird stuff.
Thank you, Carl. Todd, I appreciate this. This was a good idea.
Yeah,
whether or not Mark Brown thinks that we should do it again, it depends. Kyle and his boss.
We'll get few angrier emails than some of your editorial cartoons. We'll still get
more editorial cartoons.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks,
Kyle. Thank you, folks.
Thank you very much, folks.
Vinny.com has all your results that you need. Watch it all night. We'll be the press is going to roll at about 1:45, 2 o'clock. We'll see how it goes, but the numbers are coming in. So thanks for joining us tonight.
And thank you guys for letting me be part of it.
You're welcome.